Yo, guys, if you want a free ride with Uber, open up the app on your phone, enter the code WOOLYM, and, you scratch my back, I scratch your back, everybody get a free ride.
I guess I should, let's start by
making everyone uncomfortable.
Because you guys already brought it up.
We already brought it up.
And then Pat, you were like, you should probably make a Tumblr post about this. And I was
And that was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no.
And I guess I had assumed that you had made it.
You're standing in front of the presidential thing saying we need to make a statement.
It's funny more than anything, but it's just the fact that, okay, so yeah, now that my hair is purple and everyone's like, it's alternate Wooly, it's like a Wario type of thing.
So just switch the W.
Yeah, so just call him Mooly, right? That's gonna work.
That's how that started.
That's
exactly how that started. And that is innocent.
And it caught the fuck on. Yeah. Like a lot. But a lot of the people that are doing this are probably unaware that
because Mooly, they're like 16 and not 55.
Yeah. Mooly is a super racist Italian term for black people.
And it's so specific.
Because it means Moulignan, which is eggplant. And it's what Italian racist people call black people because you're so black that you're purple. Which, when you think about the fact
that's terrible.
And your hair was purple also.
It
just kind of links up and makes an especially
like
awful
situation.
Like Pat
just said, it's actually perfect if not for the fact that it's really
racist.
Fucking racist.
Yeah.
So just in case you didn't know, Mooly is really like, no harm, no foul.
Exactly. I said right before this how I was like, no, that's I've never heard that. You guys made that up. Then I mentally checked my head and went, wait, no, someone said that in a Punisher.
It's in The Wire. It's in season 5 of The Wire.
I can only imagine.
But yeah, fair warning, if you want to keep being racist,
if you just love it, well, who am I to tell you?
Exactly.
It's a big world.
It's a word that bookends some really bad statements, you know. That sometimes I don't understand what they're saying.
It's like when someone actually buys a pet monkey and puts it on their porch.
It's an innocent design.
Totally, right?
But then if you were to overhear that description in like a McDonald's, you'd be like,
you got a problem.
Have you seen my new Porsche monkey?
I'm sorry, what? No, look, he's adorable. I'm like, wow.
Don't worry.
That's unfortunate.
Don't worry, we're taking it back now.
Yeah, we're taking that back.
Get the fuck out of here, Randall. That's the best scene in Clerks.
The best scene in Clerks is just when the camera pans and you see his jacket just says Porsche Monkey for Life. That was amazing.
Because one thing that you learn, like one thing black people learn is like, you want to know what the word for nigger is in every language.
Yeah. There's
even
a lot.
If you speak the language.
There are multiple per language.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know what they are, and you listen out for just that word.
I can't speak Italian, but I'm pretty sure that guy doesn't like me.
You know, just to know where you're standing and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of them.
There's a lot of tech behind that word.
That's another urban youth tip from Wooly.
There you go. Wooly's guide to surviving the urban jungle. The concrete jungle.
Concrete jungle, there you go.
I want to welcome everybody to episode 80 of the podcast.
I was wondering, is today 80?
That's racist.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We're slowly but surely catching up on Dark Souls LP episodes.
Damn. Yeah, that's the one to
We're
be,
right about to overtake the Dark Souls LP.
Yeah, but that thing wasn't one a week. That was like 5 times a week at some point.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Hey, Scholar of the First Sins out in April.
Fucking boo.
It's never too late to make it 90 plus.
Boo, man.
The way you'll know is when you on this is like super behind the scenes, but when you go to the website background.
And you click on the most used tag.
And like Dark Souls is number 1 and Friendcast is number 2 and that's going to swerve.
One day.
It's going to be an uncomfortable switch.
How'd you guys spend the weeks and then the Valentine's weekend?
Hang on, since Matt, I'm looking at Pat.
Looking at me.
Pat's darling finally came to him. I think Pat can speak about his amazing week with his love.
Yeah, so I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter, right? Like a lot. I got a review copy. Thanks. Who fucking sent us that?
Capcom.
Our good friend Fred.
Fred, thanks, right, Fred. Okay. Fred. I appreciate it. To us, so. Yo, that game's really good.
It's quite good.
Like, and not just like from a like fanboy of the series good. Like, they did a lot to this game to make it not a fucking nightmare to play. Mm-hmm. Like the earlier ones. Did you play the earlier ones?
Yeah, absolutely.
What was the time to monster? Like, you guys have your joke about time to crate.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Time to monster in 3U was like 5 hours.
About that, yeah.
It was... Yeah, and wow. The first 5 hours wow. in 3U was the streamlined.
You just fight trash monsters.
You fight trash monsters, or you get mushrooms or herbs, or you learn how to make a mega potion or something like that. And in 2... they didn't even give you a set of starting armor or any of the weapons except for the sword and shield.
See, that makes me feel like what the conversation we had about Xenoblade Chronicles, where it's like,
a little bit.
When do you get the mech? Okay, you want it right away, but you really want it like halfway through the game.
Absolutely.
You know, like, yeah, you don't know how to feel about this.
But it's not called Get Mech Game. It's called
Monster Hunter. It was this kind of thing where it's like you could blow a whole fucking afternoon, a whole Saturday afternoon
and not even get
on the game,
to a
and not even get to a single monster, and you'd go,
Now you could probably do it in like 3 hours.
I know. When I did it, I was like, okay, it's 5 quests, and if you're reading all the text, it's like 90 minutes, which is better, but
yeah,
still.
But I mean, for someone like totally new,
yeah,
within 3 hours you will be getting that.
Yes,
for sure. Ballsy.
And they fucking made the effort to finally like give tutorials for how the weapons work.
Yeah,
which the series has never had.
Like imagine if Arkham Knight comes out and it's time to punch.
Yeah.
And it's 4 hours until you punch a single guy.
The parents have to die first.
Exactly.
Imagine. People like to start doing the Kid Icarus Uprising, like, quote-unquote tutorial of using your weapons, which is, here's this empty room.
Yeah.
Grab this weapon, try it out at all its ranges. Here's everything you need to know about it
Monster
in this empty
Hunter
room.
Monster tries to do that. Sure. Because when you press start, there's a little cutscene, and then you fight one of the biggest things. You fight the physically largest monster in the entire game as the tutorial.
It's kind of like a fake fight. It's like,
yeah, it's not real, but it's like, hey, here's how to look up. Here's how to look down.
The cynic in me would say that certain people, if they didn't like Monster Hunter, would call it like a quick time event style battle, where it's almost just like you go through the motions and you win.
It's not quite,
you know?
But I see what
like you just
saying.
Go through the motions and you win. It's not a real fight.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a tutorial scripted
thing. And it's heavily
thing.
Cinematic. It's
yes, scripted actually. Yeah, yeah. But then you get to the real fight later and you just do all that stuff for realsies. So it's not like lying to you. It's just like, here, little baby, here's a little taste of what will happen later. There's a story now, and it sucks.
It does.
It sucks!
I'm really disappointed with how hard it sucks, actually.
It's like, really stupid, and whatever, but who cares? At least it's there now. At least there's...
You know, it's like, at least it's there, and I always complain that I wish there were stories in hunting games, but now that it's here and it's bad, I'm like... Wait, why?
Well,
why is it bad? Why couldn't it be decent?
Because it's their first day.
In the early...
Making a story.
So
it's their, like, 10th Monster
But it's their
Hunter
first
games.
Day making a story.
So I only played 2 and 3, and the story of 2 is you're walking along a snowy path, and a monster fucks you up, and you break your legs or some shit, and then they nurse you back to health, and you're like, I'm gonna get it. And then you're like, I'm gonna hunt the lower stuff till I'm good. That's the whole fucking plot. And in 3, it's... Hey man, there's some kind of ecological disaster. We think that big crocodile thing's doing it. And then you kill it. And then he's like, nah man, it's not the big crocodile. It's the underwater super dragon.
He's behind that hundred set of monsters.
And then you beat that. And then the story's over. And he just says, well, okay, we'll go find a bigger, I guess.
Yeah. There's no story.
If you're trying to make your game more accessible, the corkboard mission-only style game is not going to fly.
No, definitely not.
So at least they put something. They said, okay, you got this town has... It feels like a Super like a subpar Super Nintendo RPG where you go talk to somebody and they're like, oh man, I can't get home because this stupid gray jaggy's in my way. Can you go?
And you literally have a little pop-up that says you get a quest.
Yeah, and you go fuck him up, Greg.
I'm late for my date.
And then your main guy, your caravan's like, oh, we gotta build an airship or fucking whatever, so kill this guy to get the whatever. So, fine. The only thing the story succeeds at is there's actually finally like a villain. in the game.
Kinda, yeah.
Like, the monster on the box called Gormagala, it's basically...
Is it a human-sized monster?
No.
Like, is it a human that slowly walks towards you?
Is it a human that is taking monster parts for bad reasons?
No.
It's the monster who's getting worked on the box art.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's just constantly just leaking evil... I guess you would say.
Dude, it's garbage. It's garbage.
They call it...
I thought it was just like a Lugia ho-ho thing.
No, no, they call it the frenzy virus, and it has gameplay ramifications, but basically it's a big evil dragon.
Okay. Rage.
But they actually do something good with it, where it just attacks you throughout the story. Like when you move from town...
It's like Nemesis.
Kind of. Where you move from town 1 to 2, or 2 to 3, you go on a boat. And he fucks your boat up, and you have to repel him. You cannot defeat it. And you go, oh, Jesus Christ. Then later, they bring in, like, a team of ringers to fuck it up, and they botch it. They're like, okay, well, you do it! And you have to actually... It's both the best and worst part of the whole game, because it's an escort mission, in which you have to defend the other guys... Mm-hmm. From that. And then later you realize, no, wait, he's actually a fucking deific being, and you fight him in an arena, and it's a huge boss fight. So that's nice, but who cares? There's so many.
It's like a story in porn.
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Nice that it's there.
I like that there's a boss fight. I like
it adds to it.
I like a little bit of intrigue.
I wish they could
at least be good stories.
And for people that have been playing the games, there's a lot more improvements than for people that haven't been playing.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Like, there's a lot of surface level stuff. Like, there's a story. There's different towns. There's some UI stuff that got cleaned up, but. Certain things, like they've instituted something called item sets now, where it used to be, okay, you go in with your whetstones and your rations and your paintballs and your bombs and everything that you use to do a hunt, right? And then you do the quest and you're like, great, now you go back to your item box and then you're like, okay, fill up on potions, fill up on paintballs, fill up on bombs. And it was annoying.
It wasted a lot of time.
It sucks.
It was a complete waste of time.
But they finally made it so you can just set... Like, this is the item set A for that has all of this
and
shit.
And it'll restock you as well as
and
you have.
And now, before you leave, just double tap A on the item box. It'll just refill all your shit. Right. And it'll also take all the shit you picked up out of your inventory and bank it. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of little stuff like that. How do you like the new weapons?
I mean, they're good.
I think they're the two best weapons in the entire game.
I mean, the insect rod's, like, pretty intricate.
But it's so confusing.
And it's really fun.
Why is it so confusing?
But, like, I think they're about as good as the rest of the weapons, to be honest, which they're good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're good. They're fun.
And
I'm more in love with the jumping and climbing and the verticality of the game, which they really improved on.
I talked to Matt about this, like, last week off camera, and Wooly, you probably have no idea, but in the last game... So Monster Hunter 1 and 2, it's just you're on the ground and you're on a flat plane and you're fucking up monsters.
Pretty much every Monster Hunter game is flat.
So 3, they said, hey man, we're gonna add swimming.
Yeah, you told me about that.
So that, yeah,
damn,
I told, so
swimming,
where'd
that go?
There's gonna be, like, underwater monsters and it's gonna be a 360 movement and you move at half your movement speed and you can't see how far away the monster is.
And your attacks are super slow.
Every single fucking fight with those is terrible. Every single fucking one. Plesioth is the worst.
And when you told me that, I was like, that sucks, because, like, all the art and promotional stuff for Tri would look really cool. It was the underwater shot.
A lot of their designs are awesome.
Yeah, like, water monster dragons is awesome.
And it sucks. It sucks so bad. And so one of them, the flagship monster, the crocodile in the fucking box, Ligacrist, his stuff is some of the best stuff in the game.
He's the coolest guy.
But it sucks to get.
Even Wander figured out that you got to stab him while he's out of the water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know,
so that's gone. They fucking gave up. They completely ripped all that shit out.
They cut that at Portable Third, right?
Yeah, they cut it at Portable Third. They removed all the water monsters from the game as well. They're all just completely gone, and they replaced it with climbing and jumping,
which is awesome.
Which, Liam, tell everybody about climbing.
It works well, and I feel like it adds more to the identity of Monster Hunter.
Yes,
because I think. Like, prior to this one, Monster Hunter was kind of seen as the template game a little bit.
It was mainly like an arena battler.
Yeah, and, like, all these, like, new hunting games came out and did interesting things, and Monster Hunter was kind of left. It was really great, but it didn't have any super interesting things.
Like, imagine if Fatal Fury was the game that invented super moves, and... Like Super Turbo.
No, but it invented the line system.
Right, sure.
True.
Right?
Remember? But now that you can climb, now that the arena, the world is vertical, and you're jumping and hopping on the monsters and stuff.
Yeah, nearly every single stage is now like huge amounts.
They've got a mountain in them and shit.
Very varying detail.
It adds a lot of life to it. Prepare people for Monster Hunter 4, since that has even more of that stuff, like climbing in.
It's
only in 4. It's 4's new feature.
In 4, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. And like, not just like from a gameplay perspective, like. Do monsters fall down less when you smack their legs? It feels like they do.
I'm not sure. I could
because
only play
mounting
like
knocks
hours.
A monster down for 15 seconds. You just wail on that fucker until they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
But even from a visual standpoint, like they had desert environments in every single game, but because it had to be flat, there was not a single sand dune in the entire
very
series.
Exciting, yeah.
Right, but now the very first goddamn room in the sand in the desert is a huge dune. That you're fighting the thing on, like, this sharp incline.
Mm-hmm.
Is the climbing, like, Dragon's Dogma-esque?
No. Basically, it's you do a jumping attack, and you hit its body, and then you go into a kind of Shadow of the Colossus-style minigame, where it's trying to throw you off, so you hold on.
Grab,
and then when it's not trying to throw you off because it's tired, you stab it.
It's just grip and stab.
Grip and stab. So, yeah, okay, yeah, exactly.
It's fast, and it works really, really well. And if you're playing online for fuck's sake, stop attacking the monster when somebody is on it. Stop. Because if you do enough damage to cause the thing to flinch, the person gets thrown off.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Okay. God forbid they get flown off into a loading screen.
Yeah, which is probably the most...
the worst. I hate
that. So, Monster Hunter has all these discrete areas. It has area 1, 2, 3, and they're all...
And they're all attached to each other.
By loading screens.
You get thrown into the zone that triggers
The monsters don't.
So it used to be that the biggest annoyance was when, like, Gobble or something would just hang out behind the zone wall. Physically behind the zone wall. And you would go to hit them, and you would teleport the instant you reach them. And that was annoying. But now, with the thrashing and the throwing off shit, it's way worse. Because monsters will thrash around so hard that even though you were in the middle of the stage, they touch the wall and then you teleport into the next area.
It's great.
It's like the end shooting you from zone 2. But you go to approach him in zone 2 and it's like, no, he's actually zone 1.
Yes, exactly.
That's horrible.
That's horrible.
Aside from a couple... I played online last night for the first time with randos.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they were from the Best Friends Reddit. But the online play is perfect. It's completely smooth.
With your internet.
Yeah,
with
my internet.
Good internet, right?
And there's finally a goddamn option that you just say, add friends from this room.
Yeah.
So thank God. And it's just really good. If you liked it, it has the most of anything by a huge margin.
Mm-hmm. No,
it has 30% more than any of the other games.
Yeah, if you aren't super into Monster Hunter, I don't think it'll sell you on it again. Like, if you've already been turned off, kind of, because I know it didn't really sell me again. It's definitely the best one. And if you've never played Monster Hunter, or if you like other hunting games, definitely try it.
You know who I would recommend this to? Everyone who
Monster
is
Hunters.
Into the idea of Destiny and who is disappointed by Destiny.
By Destiny?
Because
Destiny wanted a shooter.
The
setting and the genre.
The genre. That's what I mean. And I don't mean the genre of your perspective or your movement or any of that. I mean, Destiny was supposed to be the single player MMO, right? It was supposed to be, you're going to do dungeon runs and it'd be a loot crawl. Well, this is the best loot crawl that exists. And I'd say it's halfway between like Final Fight brawling and character action in terms of In terms of depth?
No, it's all about pokes. It's all about pokes.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
You
never juggle anything, you know what I mean?
I juggle.
What are your defensive options?
Roll and block. It depends.
Okay.
Roll and block.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Action.
So it's a really good action game, and anyone who wants to try a fucking good ass hunting game, try it.
Yeah.
If you haven't been sold on Monster Hunter in the past, it might not win you over. But if you've never played Monster Hunter in the past, you'll at least love it for 30 hours.
30 at least.
At least 30 hours.
To
beat the tutorial.
So,
yes, exactly.
Well,
to make up your mind.
So here's the thing. You say you're joking about 30 hours to beat the tutorial.
Well, no.
It actually took me 54 hours to beat the tutorial. Because the entirety of low... There's the three things. Low rank, where you only fight 25 monsters, or 26 or 27. Then a high rank, where you fight most of the others, but they're way tougher. And then G rank, where you fight everything, but it's fuck yourself
it's
hard.
Dumb hard.
Low rank took me 54 hours, and that's the tutorial.
Quote
unquote. That's the start.
Because I remember
that's for babies.
I remember when Yahtzee reviewed Shrine, he was like, "Fuck this game! I never got anywhere. What's the appeal?" And he's like, "I played this thing for fucking 10 hours," and all the angry comments were like, "Congratulations!
Game starts at 50.
Congratulations! You didn't press start yet."
Which, in all fairness, isn't really a fair thing to say to people.
You remember for 3U when I said I spent almost 200 and we got a wash of comments saying you fucking casual?
Yeah, yeah,
could you imagine a fucking title screen 54 hours into a game?
Okami should have done it.
Like, just
yes,
now you press start, like, fuck!
That's awesome. I love a game like
that. Other thing, the final thing I want to say is that I played most of those hours on the old 3DS XL.
Mm-hmm.
The new one, is, like, you have the circle knob, and that's nice.
It's good.
But the target lock stuff for the old one, control-wise, works fine. But that game looks and runs way, way, way better on the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the textures are, like, 4 or 5 times the resolution, and the frame rate is almost double.
Is the demo available publicly at
yes.
this point? Yeah. So download the demo.
Yeah.
Sure.
Demo's good.
Good-ass game.
It's good.
Can you transfer your shit from the demo?
No, because there's nothing to transfer.
Oh, okay.
You
I didn't actually play the demo.
You don't get the
Japanese copy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what else you do, Liam? Oh, wait. Are we still on me?
You're still on you. Exactly.
Okay, fine. So I watched all 6 Rocky movies.
Okay. It's a good way to spend an afternoon.
Yeah, no. I just said, fuck it. I'll just watch Rocky.
Yeah.
So I always thought, because no one's good at telling you what the Rocky movies actually are.
Mm.
Because whenever anyone talks about Rocky, all they talk about is the time that he fought Drago. That's literally the only piece of the Rocky narrative.
People talk about Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang. Sure. Yeah. But what I mean is that everyone...
What about Tommy the Machine Gun?
Hold on, let me get there. The thing that kind of got me is that everyone, when they talk about Rocky, they talk about, the fight. The fight is like 5% of these movies.
And it's terrible.
The fights are awful.
They're so bad. No one talks
about
them.
Rocky 4 has a great fight. And Rocky Balboa has some good fights.
Those two are good fights.
Those are the ones.
The rest is the most...
No one
has a guard.
Make a webm of just Sylvester Stallone's face just going, leaning backwards, getting punched and not putting up his dukes at all.
Why he talks like that?
No, he
got punched.
No, he talks like that because they pulled him out of his mom's vagina with the fucking forceps.
Right. Oh, sure.
They cut his neck. Shit.
You're watching the movies, going, just fucking peekaboo.
It's
just put them up.
When I said to somebody that I was watching it, they're like, you should have watched Ippo and Rocky in reverse order
because
it's going to be fucking hard to watch. And they were right, but. Fuck the boxing.
It's not about the boxing entirely.
It's all about the training
montage. I did not know that Rocky won Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
I did not know that Rocky was like a for realsy, legit film.
Yeah.
Because everything I've ever seen is the animated GIFs of Drago and Clubber Lang.
It's because it got turned into a cartoony farce.
Yeah, exactly. Rocky 1 and 2 are fucking amazing. They are, like, amazing films.
Just don't expect actual boxing.
And Rocky, as a protagonist, like, I finally get it. All I knew is that he talked like... Blah, 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 blah. Mm. I didn't know that he was the nicest guy in the world.
The nicest guy.
His whole fucking neighborhood is behind him.
I didn't know that he was kind of an idiot. But he's still the nicest guy. He does not say one mean thing to a single person.
No, because you got to stay positive.
He doesn't say a mean thing to Lang. He doesn't say a mean thing to Drago.
He doesn't say he's not nice to Drago or Clubber, but he's not like friendly with them at the very least.
Yeah, but like there's this bit in Rocky 2 where Apollo Creed's going crazy and talking the most amount of shit you have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, how do you feel about the champ, Rock? Do you think you beat him? He goes, I don't know. He looks pretty mad. It's like, he's just like Rocky.
Clubber, right?
Our friend Rocky, he's just like this.
He really is.
Does like some of the bits with Sendo now make sense to you?
Yes, right? It does.
Exactly.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
But Ivan Drago, like, despite murdering a man, is not nearly the amount of a heel that Clubber Lang is. Just for the lines of, hey, woman, welcome to my apartment. Show you what real man's like.
And back then, to Philadelphia, people from fucking Philadelphia, that is the worst thing you can say.
That is basically
especially to a fucking huge macho Italian guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, right? You don't do that shit.
That Mooley said, what? That's the usage of the word.
But Rocky would never
say that. No, he would not say that.
Since you watch all of them, I don't like the transformation of Adrian being this geeky, like, library girl to suddenly becoming, like, a supermodel towards the end.
That happens, like, within one
between two
movie.
And three or something.
Yeah, well, in one, she is shy to an absurd degree.
Yeah.
People like that are everywhere. Mm-hmm. Two, she's getting over it. Three, she's totally over it. And that's my favorite moment in three, where she gets all up in Rocky's fucking face and just screams at him on the beach.
Yeah.
Stop it! Ah! Great.
And then in four, when she's like, oh, all the money. Well, where'd it go?
Well, no.
Where's our robot?
No, she doesn't. That's not. No, she's.
Yeah, Liam's probably laughing, but they have a robot.
The robot scene happened. Come on.
No. But her going, like, she's yelling at Paulie because he lost all the money. Oh, my fucking God.
True, you're right.
Oh, my fucking God. Uncle Paulie is the worst character. He is the worst piece of shit I have ever seen in a film.
All up until the last movie. Like, even in the last movie, he's like, ah, you're living in yesterday, Rock. And I'm like, oh, you're just the new Mickey because Burgess Meredith died, unfortunately. So they couldn't have Mickey back there.
Fucking dirtbag, like, woman-beating, racist piece of garbage. And then every now and then, like, once every two movies, there's a moment where Paulie's like, oh, I know I'm crap Rock. And you're like, that's supposed to make up with the fact that you, like, smacked Adrian around.
Yeah.
Lost millions of dollars.
That weren't yours.
Are an outrageous racist to everyone in the movie.
Even Italians.
Great character.
Yeah. Great character.
Great character.
Hate him.
Now, did you go and watch the Lipton iced tea commercials as well? And I did fit not. Those into the I timeline?
Because that's canon.
That's canon. I'm not sure between which movies they fit in, but they're canon.
Hey, what was Hulk Hogan's name?
Thunderlips.
Thunderlips!
And I'm looking at this, I'm like, this is some outrageous shit. Wait a second, kayfabe existed back at this time.
It did.
So it had to be like rock solid. So
Hulk Hogan got a lot of guff for even being in that movie because that was like a taboo. Like wrestlers don't go in movies; you have to stay in the business.
So
Suburban Commando says otherwise.
Well, that was in 94.
So here's something that
this was like 84.
I didn't know anything about Rocky at all. Clearly, but I did know that Rocky V was a piece of shit.
Everyone, you didn't know that?
No, I knew that.
Okay.
That's the only thing I knew is that Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4 are great. And then Rocky V is a fucking piece of garbage. I don't think it's that bad. I think
it's the worst movie.
I think it's the worst movie
in the series.
But I think it's just at the bottom of the list.
Okay, yeah, but that's accurate. That's
and I think that people's rage over the fact that it ends with a street fight aren't actually paying attention to what's happening in that movie. Because the instant that Rocky convinces Tommy to walk out the door into a street fight and not a match, Rocky wins. That's his victory.
Yeah. But it breaks the previous four movies' tradition.
Well, it was supposed to be the finale, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, well, I didn't see Balboa, but all I heard about it was that it's like, this is not the Rambo... like final movie type of thing where it's like this is the right send off.
So yeah, it is. Rocky, you remember me and you talking like maybe 5 years ago about Batman Beyond? And
yeah.
How Batman Beyond, I never watched it and you told me, Pat, you gotta watch it. I go, why? It's fucking shit. And you go, no, it should be shit. Batman Beyond should be the worst thing ever.
Yeah. Mm.
Because you watch, you watch that fucking intro with the techno shit and all the future stuff and then it's fucking awesome. Rocky Balboa is the Batman Beyond of the Rocky series.
Okay.
This movie should be trash.
Okay.
The idea that Rocky in his fucking 60s...
You know the reason why he was even created, Rocky Balboa?
Was
because Sylvester Stallone said, I felt so bad that we let everyone down with Rocky V, and it was not the proper send-off.
Yeah.
And he's like, this has to be it, and that's why, like... Sylvester Stallone directed it, wrote it, started, did everything.
He built his confidence to really do it justice.
Whereas Rocky V was directed by some other guy.
Well, Rocky Balboa is is fucking great. I couldn't believe how good it was.
Although his son is a shit. Like, it's just the actor.
Oh, fuck his stupid son.
Remember, his son in Rocky V was his real-life son.
Yeah.
Right? And in the Rocky, like, what happened, whereas in Rocky Balboa, he couldn't get his son. His son wouldn't be in it anymore.
Oh, no.
And his son has a weird name. His name is, like, Blood Moon Brother or some shit.
Yeah. Well, he's a little punchy,
not
probably.
Blood Moon,
yeah.
Good God.
Imagine
Thunder.
If Mickey, imagine if Mickey is giving Rock advice in between the rounds. And he's like, you got that crap. And then a guy goes, seconds, out. And he's like, fuck you, you chap. Okay. I'm going to do this. Yes. And then he's, no, seconds out.
Out. So.
And the bell has rung.
After Rocky won, I went to Wiki to find out, when did this movie come out? It came out in fucking 75.
Yeah.
Burgess Meredith. In fucking
this
75,
is, why this.
Is the oldest man in the world, and that was 40 years ago.
He stuck around.
He was around till like 95 or 8 or something, and you look at him in grumpier old men, and he's just gotten smaller.
Yeah.
He's the oldest man in the world.
Cigar and a glass of scotch every day. That's how you stay strong.
He was the voice of like one of the main villains in the G.I. Joe animated movie, like Globulus or whatever. And Orson Welles, if you recall.
Yeah, that's right.
Orson Welles was Unicron.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. See,
so bizarre.
In his later life, he became quite large.
They got Leonard Nimoy.
And then they made him play a planet.
That's true.
They got Orson Welles, they got Leonard Nimoy. They got all kinds of
Galvatron
fucking
kicks
fine. You can do whatever the
Robert
fuck
Stack is in that fucking
crazy
movie.
Yeah, as Ultra Magnus.
Star-studded.
So yeah, that's Rocky. I also watched about, I don't know, 7-8 episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
I'm finally in it. Watching that show is like having a panic attack.
It's the most awkward show
in
the world.
I watched 8 episodes. I think it took me an entire day because I kept having to pause it and go, I can't even.
Yeah.
Just.
Curb is kind of like American. What's her name?
Red Green.
No,
that anime where the girl is like always concerned about being awkward.
I watched earlier this
the anime where the girl's
it's your fault
always...
I'm not popular.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Like it's like that. You just
I thought a little. I thought
worse because it's,
this is a good
it's
show
real life.
Yeah.
Like it's live action.
I thought stuff like Always Sunny or Peep Show were hard to watch because they were awkward.
Oh, no. Watamote.
But fucking Curb will just let shit sit there for minutes. As everyone just awkwardly lies around the
bar. Always Sunny is like watching Ponyo compared to Curb.
I can't.
But
it's such an easy watch.
Although, if you there's only one thing that goes further in terms of just like gut wrenching awkward.
Oh God, was it the
British Office?
British Office is up there.
King of it's painful.
I want to watch it
painful.
Now. I really want to watch it.
The
now.
Bile like six in your it's 6 episodes.
Okay, well,
super short. The bile in your fucking stomach
really
turns,
good.
Man. And they hold it. They keep the camera
you
there.
You have to hold it.
You can't go. You can't look away.
If you let go, you're weak.
The other thing is I got a new 3DS, but we all want to do like a round table thing.
Yeah,
when
let's
that comes
do that.
Out.
Sure,
I
suppose. Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that at the end.
Liam, what's up, man?
Not much. I had a good Valentine's weekend in the States. It was a good time. I just went to New York State.
Not
very far.
That's right over
actually.
How
yeah.
was the journey?
How was the journey? Not fun. We had to fucking bring her dog and cat.
That's a bad idea.
Oh my God. Cats don't know how to shut up when you tell them to shut up.
No, they don't.
They just keep meowing. They don't even listen to you. Why does anyone buy cats?
Because they love them still.
It was the worst.
Because they can live in apartments that don't let
them. I had a great weekend, though, and my girlfriend bought me this little stuffed animal that sings songs when you squeeze it, because she loves that kind of mushy...
Teddy Ruxpin?
You know that Hallmark shit where you get, like, a Hallmark stuffed animal?
Yeah
where it sings a song? Yeah. It's cute.
Does she listen to the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh,
I love you.
Oh, boo.
I had a great weekend, though. I had a really good time with her. I played, separate from that weekend, I played Criminal Girls a bunch more.
I can't fucking
and
just straight
deal.
It's the jump from actual romantic weekend to dangerous romantic weekend.
I'm like 30 hours in. I think I'm almost done.
You're done, all right.
It's better than I expected. It's like significantly better than the Neptunia games and like I'd say the percentage of, like, garbage shit there is in it is probably, like, 5%, if okay. not less. It's, like, better but than... It's more legit than I expected.
Did they not market it based on that garbage?
They did.
Okay, so, like, yeah. it's not one of those things where, like, did we all just latch onto it, or did they actually push it?
Yeah, they... Okay. No, it was actually pushed at least a little bit, so... But it's actually surprisingly legit, but it's still, like, anime, like, weeaboo trash, so...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know... steep your expectations.
We need some kind of rating system purely for weeaboo trash. Like outside of the game's quality, like how trashy is this?
Yeah. That's a good system we have to get on top of.
And okay. what would the top be? Would it be Monster Monpies?
Cup sizes.
No. Because I think I think Rapeplay is like the top.
That's not a real game.
But then there's characters like that.
The Kinect version.
The girl from Valkyrie Chronicles. Right,
the girl from Valkyria Chronicles.
There's
that would probably be like a one,
but it's
or something.
But it's in a legit game.
Like, otherwise, yeah, legit game. But
here's this thing.
He's watermelon.
Here's the beef you require. So
and then
that's
just,
probably
work,
like a one.
You work
or
your way up from there.
From there, yeah.
You know,
that's true.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I beat another game that I'm not going to talk about because I can't. But I really liked it, and I started playing Majora's Mask, and that.
I didn't even load it up yet. I should do that.
That is such a good remake. Like, I've never finished it, but I've played the beginning to the fourth dungeon and beat Gott and everything.
Nice.
That's
a good run.
So No, sorry. I've done that in the past. Oh, I haven't done that yet on the 3DS.
That's what you do. Okay.
And, like, I've done the beginning up to Odolwa, like, so many times. Because I never had an N64. I'd always play it with my cousins and start over and stuff. And, like, I remember that bit really well, and, like, holy shit, this remake is, like, way better than the Ocarina one. Like,
I have a quick interjection question. Sure. It's been since, like, maybe when I downloaded the Virtual Console version when the Wii came out, but even before you get turned into a Deku scrub, when you're young Link and you do platforming, did he always do cool backflips and cartwheels?
That's I
don't remember that at all.
I was saying to Wooly the other week, when you're on those logs at the very beginning and you have to do those jumps and he does front flips and shit. That was the moment where I was like, oh my god, this is a fucking sequel.
Wait, what? What happened? Yeah.
Because when I think about when I played it as a kid, all you can remember is when you're not Link.
Right.
And you're all the other forms. So I couldn't remember what you did as regular Link.
You fucking flip all over the place.
The animation looked awesome. I was blown away.
The Bomber's Notebook, I was worried that it kind of, like, gave too much away or something in the way that it's done. It's great. It's not at all. It doesn't
away. That's, like, the side quest journal for all the times.
It's basically just like, okay, you gave the Moon Tear to the Deku guy and he goes away. Let me mark that on your journal that you did that. And they don't tell you what the next step is.
Mm-hmm.
They just say, you did this. And then when you do the next one, they put it next to it so that you know, like, if you have to redo it because you missed the last one.
I don't want to spoil anything, but, like, of course. That's a fucking chain of events, man.
Oh, I'm aware. I know, like, everything about this
A feature like that always also greatly helps when you've been away from the game for a while.
Naturally.
And you don't remember what you did.
For sure.
So it's always great.
I was worried it would be too much of a giveaway, but it's totally not.
Apparently there's
the only weird thing is that you get the Bomber's Journal from the Happy Mask Man.
Right away?
After you get the Ocarina and you do the first time loop.
Okay.
He says, oh, I found this journal. You can have it. And it's like, wait, I had to do the Bomber's thing to get here. Why didn't the Bombers just give it to me? I'm really not sold. Like, it's weird. I think that's really weird.
Here's a feature.
but it was in the old game, like, and the Bombers gave it to you.
Oh, then that's really
they just changed the guy who gives it to you, and it makes less.
Maybe like, they
why
just
is it,
really like
why is it called
salesman.
The Bombers Journal? If the Happy Mask guy gives it to you
because he found it on the ground.
Found it because
fucking Bombers drop shit all over. Do whatever he wants.
And I guess like the only other thing, like, it's not actually like a problem. It's not a problem. It just irked me a little when I saw it. Was the Happy Mask my guy points over to the Sheikah Stone and says, hey, if ever you get stuck or need a tip, the Sheikah Stone will tell you how to beat the game
over there.
Camera pans over and it's like, just let me...
Don't hit it. Just don't hit it.
I mean, you have to crawl in.
Oh.
It's a Sheikah tunnel of love.
You know, they didn't get much play in the original, so they amped up their usage.
They didn't exist.
The stones that you
that literally show you video tutorials
of every section of the game. No, you're thinking
of the original stones.
I'm thinking of the original stones.
Yeah, you're thinking of the what are they called? Not curiosity. The ones that you hit.
This was in the Sheikah stones.
No, this was in Ocarina of Time.
They were in Ocarina of Time as well. Yeah,
the Ocarina of Time remake. They have these videos.
You crawl into them and you watch like
some super guide.
It's like, hey, I'm stuck. It's literally super guide. Hey, I'm stuck. Advance me. And then they tell you how to advance. But otherwise, the remake is stellar. Some of the stuff they did, like putting the bank at the back of Clock Tower is really smart, and it's just a good change. Saving anywhere is really practical. I know a lot of people are sticklers for it, but I can't deny that it's super practical.
It's handheld, man.
It's super practical.
If it was a console remake, mm-hmm. I'd be like, keep it as it was.
Yeah.
But if you're fucking traveling with this thing...
Exactly.
Or it's gonna die.
I found it practical on the Metro register.
Like, I hear there's a new Song of Time or some shit that makes things a lot easier.
What does it do?
You can set it, instead of to a specific day, you can set it to a specific hour.
Oh, it's the one, the song of, not double time, but the one that lets you jump forward to the next day.
Yeah.
What was that one? It lets you now pick what time you go to instead.
Oh, wow. You can specify, okay.
Because that seems like a huge deal.
I'm not there, or I don't know the song, frankly, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting to grab the box bundle and...
Oh, you're going to really sit on it until you can get the...
Well, because I was going to grab the digital and stuff, and then, like, I was like, oh, let me get the box bundle, but expenses unexpected have occurred.
Sure, sure.
Whatever, they're our trips.
So. Well, you're never going to get it now.
Yeah,
you're done.
No, he's going to do the thing he did for
I'm going to get it.
As long as you know it's going to be stupid.
I'm going to get it, but it's going
to
be stupid.
Where it takes him 4 months to eBay it, and then he never plays it.
He'll play it.
So
that game's really good. My new 3DS didn't show up because Amazon has a history of having issues with Nintendo hardware.
They sure do.
Which is weird, considering, like, you'd think Nintendo would want to be all over that.
It's because of the fucking hinge thing for the DS or the original 3DS? Original 3DS, where, you know, they had that tendency to crack hinges?
Yeah.
And Nintendo told them, nah, refunds on you.
Really?
And ever since...
I could buy that.
And ever since then, Amazon has either not stocked Nintendo stuff or stocked them exclusively through other sellers.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to deal with Nintendo.
Either way, my new 3DS should be showing up this week, so I'll have a nice benchmark of Majora's Mask to compare.
Yeah.
Because I'm already missing not having the nub.
Yeah.
Because I was playing a lot of games on my Japanese ones.
So. Yeah.
And that was more or less what I did this
week. What about you, Matt, with your big feet?
My big giant feet. Yeah, well, maybe we'll see it on the podcast video, my big giant feet. We'll see. I watched, I didn't know, but it's like 2 episodes of Parks and Rec Season 7 every week. They release it.
Wow, really?
2. So every
That's
week.
That's odd.
It's very odd. And I'm like, we just watched new Parks and Rec. Awesome. There's another one out today, too. What? And it's really strange, but I'm going on that right now. It's getting really good, but you can feel that this is the last, like, you know, it's the last season, but the characters that have never gotten stuff are getting stuff.
Yeah,
like, okay. Donna never got an episode about Donna, ever.
Who's Donna?
Yeah.
She's the black lady. Yeah, okay.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
So she finally got an episode that was about her and her family, for example.
Sure.
Jerry actually gets an episode where someone is nice to Jerry the entire way.
No, that's shark jumping. That's bullshit.
No,
but it was only one person. Like, one person was nice to him, and no one gets to see the nice thing. So it's an isolated thing that'll never happen. It's not like an episode all about him, and he becomes the champion.
It's a
whatever.
Secret touching moment.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really good. And then, in the reverse of that, I watched probably one of the worst things I've ever seen. And you'll all give me
a
sigh.
Is it your own birth?
That was actually really hype, because you wouldn't be born if I wasn't born.
What are you implying?
Damn lines in
you
the sand
got sunned,
drawn.
My friend. Wow. You just got sunned. It's been a while, but it happened.
I literally don't know what's happening.
Heavenly Sword, the CG movie.
You played the fuck. You did it. You did it.
Because I'm doing
Woo!
It.
The gem, isn't it?
I'm doing it for a video,
okay.
obviously, because why would anyone subject themselves to that? It is the worst thing I have ever seen.
Now we're going
to
watch it. Damn it.
I don't know.
The Ukraine team or something?
It was made by someone incompetent.
Yeah, because it, like, The production values are like zero.
Was it not made by the same people that did the Sly Cooper thing?
It might have been financed by that. I don't know how they scammed decent actors like Thomas Jane being in that thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's decent actors in there. And it's like, you look at it, and when I looked at, like, the original Heavenly Sword, this is the most European-looking thing ever. The way the characters are designed, the way they... Like, the way their proportions are.
Shocker, it's done in Europe.
It's shocker, it's done in Europe, but it's like... there's something off about it. Like, a lot of CG animated movies, and when they come from Europe, they're often not very great-looking. The character designs always take these weird proportions that I never feel look attractive at all. They don't look appealing.
I think what you're trying to say is the art's bad.
The art is bad, yes.
Almost everything about this movie is really bad.
Well, hey, look, when you take shit and you temper that shit, you have tempered shit.
But it's like Heavenly Sword's a 5 on a good day. This movie struggles to be a 1. Like, this movie's really bad.
It has to
bad.
Work hard to become a failure.
Yeah.
Right? So I subjected myself to that. It was not a good time.
Is Andy Serkis involved?
I didn't think so. As soon as I knew what the ending was, I kind of turned it off, and I didn't look at the credits or anything. Okay. I got the new 3DS as well. I downloaded a bunch of shit that I had been neglecting to, like Moon Chronicles, Zeo Drifter, which is actually between that and Majora. I was like, ooh, which one?
I don't know. Which one to play.
Zeo Drifter is actually really good. Wooly, pick it up. Mm-hmm. Metroidvania.
I know. I'm well aware.
Really tough, too. Really tough. And it's like Metroidvania, but really condensed. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really tight, and you don't wander around too much, but you wander around just enough that you're like, oh, I can directly go there with this new thing. Nice. And it's very hard to forget. It's very hard to... like, sort of not be on track.
Right, I follow you. If you're interested, Shantae and Retro City Rampage on 3DS are getting patched to have the second stick and
so,
ZLZR
so
stuff.
Did Moon Chronicles as well. So
oh, no kidding.
I was playing Moon Chronicles with that, and it feels pretty fucking good.
Cool.
It's a little snappy when you get close to an enemy, and then it just kind of snaps on the enemy for a
bit. Like auto-lock kind of thing?
Moon Chronicles is weird, because when I played on the DS, I didn't like it too much, because while it had this scary sort of isolated Metroid vibe, it also, like, the enemies were, like, the most generic robot orb floating things.
Yeah, I getcha.
But the game's still, like, and the 3DS kind of remake Moon Chronicles, like, it still looks good, and it looks way better than the DS version. So I enjoyed that a lot. Not to sort of, like, if you like Valentine's Day, it's great. I'm glad you guys had a nice Valentine's weekend, for example, Liam. But Valentine's Day is totally meaningless. It's a bullshit holiday. It means nothing. And I kind of... We did this last year where we had an anti-Valentine's Day week because no one tells us when to tell each other that we love each other. Right?
Okay.
Because it's the 14th, we don't do anything. We do everything on the 13th and then the 15th.
You sound like my dad.
Well, it's...
You tell him, Matt.
I just mean
go
how
get the man.
We were...
Fuck you, world! Don't tell me what I'm going to do with my penis!
When we were in...
Or how it should smell.
When we were in the mall, it was just voracious. You see desperate guys running around getting chocolates and rubbers.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the selfies.
You put the chocolate in the rubber.
Don't do it in the other way.
I'm a fan of the selfies, or not selfies, but like you see someone taking a photo of like an aisle of hard chocolates and then just giving the middle finger to it. Because you're single.
Yeah.
Those pictures
so
are great.
So it's also like a holiday that excludes a huge amount of people that make them feel bad.
You can still buy the chocolate.
You can still buy the chocolate,
well, see,
especially if it's a discount the next
day. That's how it works. When you're single on Valentine's Day, it's the worst. But then when you're in a relationship and you're all happy and shit, fuck all those single people.
No, I feel bad for
them. You just got to hold up for White Day. You just got to hold up for White Day.
It's coming.
You're going to get your chocolate after all.
I kind of just think if you have like work, let's say, on Valentine's Day, and if you can get off work and exchange shifts, just be with your other person, and that's it. That's good enough. Don't buy Hallmark cards. Don't get stupid overpriced chocolates. There's only one holiday that should have chocolates, and it's Halloween. That's it. None others.
I honestly thought he was going to say Easter.
Why would I say Easter?
Because it's the Easter Bunny!
I was expecting Hanukkah.
Is that even
I didn't even know that.
That's the entire point.
See, well, for me, trick-or-treat, it's like chocolate is not even the primary form of candy for Halloween.
If I'm not getting candy corn, candy apples,
this motherfucker,
don't
this motherfucker needs to stop. I'm gonna fight him.
I mean, hey, look.
Stop. You remember the Christmas candy corn I found? Yeah. I should have bought that.
No, what else are you supposed to do on with Kwanzaa when you're lighting?
What the hell is Kwanzaa?
You light the fake menorah. It's a menorah, but we don't want to call it that.
I thought Kwanzaa was like alternate Christmas. I didn't know it was alternate Hanukkah.
It's neither, it's, but it's both. Kind of somewhere in between. It's like, hey, yo, are black people doing okay? Yeah.
Remember Kwanzaa-bot? Kwanzaa-bot, all he does is send out flyers that say, what the hell is Kwanzaa?
Pretty much.
That's all Kwanzaa-bot does. All
right, so you stuck it to the man.
I stuck it to the man in that way because, like, I don't know. Just we've never been that into it, and...
Here's my problem. You clearly are so into it. Just, like, you're so into it, but you refuse to do it the way everyone else does it.
Well, that makes it special, right? Yeah. Doing it on the day where everyone else does it, you know?
It's like, I'm gonna celebrate Christmas on the 23rd. Fuck all you.
It's the same thing as, Festivus. Right?
It's the holiday for the rest of us.
Right, so...
You gotta get that feats of strength shit going down.
So,
any chance that this tradition started the first year that you started dating?
When you started dating, yes. Then...
Yeah,
yes.
Probably, okay.
Well, yes, but the last couple of Valentine's Day I had with my previous relationship, like, was really bad, and...
Why you broke up.
That wasn't it at all.
Right.
They went really bad because it's like, I'm not gonna go into it, Liam.
I'm waiting for that to happen. I'm like, wait, what? This is my personal life. This is not your fucking business.
Exactly. But tell your significant other that you love them every day. Do something nice every day. Don't wait until when a corporation tells you to.
The hallmarks?
And the hallmarks and lint.
But you need their approval. Or else it's not legitimate.
It's not certified.
You can't
get married if you haven't bought at least one Hallmark card in the last two business years.
I make
years.
My cards.
It's not Hallmark.
It's better. Because it's personalized.
Are you telling me that you're full on fucking full blown?
Hallmark
like,
knows
I made,
your emotions.
I
better
made
than
you
do.
A macaroni like art.
I did that.
I actually did that to you.
I go out in the freezing weather. I get bristle board and glue sticks, and I make a card and I draw. You can see if you like. It's hilarious. Anyway,
glad to see all this passion put towards Black History Month.
What have you done this month for that?
Fucking nothing.
Yeah. I have something. I need to slam something before I forget.
I was black this month.
I was just reminded by a friend of mine to remember to talk about something. I played Ubisoft's Risk for PS4 this week.
What?
Because my friend really enjoy Risk. And we said... Maybe we could play a two-player game.
Did they develop it or publish it?
I believe they developed it, but I'm not sure. Okay. But let's find out why I think that. That game has rampant slowdown to an embarrassing degree.
Oh, is this much like that Ubisoft Tetris
re-release? Ultimate?
Yeah. So we played it for maybe 20 minutes, less, 15 minutes. It crashed, blocked up the whole PS4.
That's a risky game.
See, a regular Risk game would end 4 hours later with the board upside down. So you want too much of a loss.
Fucking locked up the whole fucking system. Don't buy that piece of shit. So, Wooly, what are you doing here?
One final thing. We all kind of we got a lot of work done. We have some new kind of shows in the
box. We gotta finish that.
We gotta finish that. We're looking at a thing right now.
Put that off for two weeks.
It's really secret, and because it's close to becoming a thing,
so it's a mystery what it is.
It's a mystery. It really is. Yeah. We don't want to box ourselves in though and create things just for the sake of it. Just because I'm close to getting it done, a lot of people are asking, since I mentioned it somewhere, I was like, yes, Bond-a-thon is coming back. Those are almost done.
He's actually been working on it the whole time.
Been working on 2 years too late, but sure.
With bells and whistles and riding on a donkey.
All types of things.
How much did the hard drive cost to repair in the end?
That's not good.
I also talked with our good friend Bokudo No Eruption.
Yeah.
And we found a really funny idea for a video that I think especially Liam would like. And we're gonna, it's a very quick thing, and hopefully we can bang that out this week. Really be kind of funny. And maybe after that we can lay rest to the great Aladdin debate.
Oh. Mm.
Is it a debate, really?
There's no debate here. It's
yes,
the
it is. With smart people, but, there hey, is a
you
debate.
Know what I'm talking about.
But with idiots that are in self-denial, yes, there is no debate. That's
the only thing me and Liam can agree on.
And it's a thing that's wrong.
Oh, fuck
off. What about that?
Some people high-fived yourself.
Some people have terrible taste, and other people like Shinji Mikami. What do you want from this world?
Yeah, some people hate Shinji Mikami. It's fine.
What do you want?
Right. Don't you motherfuckers dare accuse me of not liking Shinji Mikami.
Well, you're doing it yourself, so it's fine.
Well, like, you know, The Evil Within was such a hit, I guess you can do no wrong.
Yeah, and you loved it.
That was all right.
Yeah, no, you loved it.
That's pretty good.
Well, it's not all right. I suppose when people were younger, they're able to make games better. But when they get older, it's harder.
That was the perfect, that 5 seconds was the perfect Liam into Liam. Because it's like, stinger fucking zinger Liam into, like, defender Liam. Right away! No transition!
It's alright.
It was great!
But it's like saying Shinji Mikami's the best person in the world. Like, he made some really amazing, perfect games, but he also made some, it's alright, games.
Well, like, you know, like, you should always think that you are the best person in the world. But yeah, that's confidence.
Yeah, confidence.
Alright.
Over to you, Willie.
Alright, well,
how's Black History Month treating you?
I don't know.
It's the shortest month of the year.
Damn straight.
He's gone for that.
Days
that's why they picked
they knocked
it.
Him off, man.
That's why the man picked
how
it.
How did I literally never realize that?
Dude,
Jesus
that is
Christ.
There's a meme picture
that is,
of that.
That is 8 comedians' punchline.
That
yeah,
is,
yeah,
like,
yeah, okay, wow.
Shortest month of the year, man.
Woo!
No, but whatever with that.
nice.
So Zelda Majora's Mask, obviously excited, but like I said, I'm going to have to... bullshit my way to getting that because.
But did you buy the? You didn't just buy the game just for yourself.
No,
now though,
no,
right?
I'm gonna get the bundle and the full thing.
Do you mean
but,
the console or like the Skull Kid?
The Skull Kid.
Okay,
thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
That might be doable.
No. Sorry. I mean,
what do you want?
I want
tell
the new 3DS with the game.
Okay,
I want that. That's
you
where,
don't
that's...
care about the Skull Kid figure.
No, I'll pass
well,
on that.
Good okay. Because it's crap.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm fine with that.
Wait, the new Majora's Mask 3DS with the game?
Yeah.
That only came out in Europe.
Yeah, so...
What?
Wait,
the
no.
The bundle that has the new Majora's Mask 3DS and the game?
Yeah, it doesn't come with... No, it doesn't come with the game, Willie. I hope you know that.
It's
yeah.
Just the console.
It's just the console.
Oh, my...
Like, you may as well buy the game.
Then I'll, yeah,
yeah,
we'll
exactly.
Buy the game.
That's why I thought you wanted
digital.
The Skull Kid figure.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's why I was confused. Yeah.
But,
anyway.
But no, either way, it doesn't matter because,
yeah.
That money has been spent now for what we should probably announce here is we're going to be going to PAX East.
Yeah, Willie and I are going to make
Matt
the trip to PAX East.
Yeah.
It's mostly a business sort of deal, but we
yeah.
will be playing anything. Whatever is coming
there.
Out, which
sure.
I don't think is much.
Yeah, and, this is the reason why I'm not going.
And
World Combat X, I guess?
Yeah, no, but it was a last-minute flight, so, you know, that's where the money goes, unfortunately. So I'll get around to the Majora's Mask thing.
But we'll be able to eat some great great clam chowder, maybe.
And, like, Pete's Boston Pizza?
A lot of people hate Boston Pizza.
Yeah.
Every time I've gone to Boston Pizza, it's the best meal of my life. I always enjoy it. I don't know what it is.
I had a nice Valentine's Day because I have
man.
No problems with
good
it.
Good for inherently. You, conforming to the man in Black History Month.
Yeah, you know, went out to a nice restaurant and I had my first experience eating octopus. Holy shit, is it delicious!
You mean I like actual octopus, not like calamari?
Yeah. No, like a slice of tentacle was on my plate,
mm-hmm.
and it was super good. Smoked and all that shit. Like I can't. I'm surprised.
Poor squid.
Maybe I'm late to this. I thought it was more than all right. Maybe I'm late to the party.
I wasn't too fond of it when I tried it, but it's
okay.
Because when I look at that,
this place did a fucking good
sure,
a number
sure.
on it, and like you know, it's a pretty nice spot.
Because when I've seen people eat that, usually the tentacles are a dark color. Sometimes,
yeah.
I just think that they're eating like the sea witch from Little Mermaid. And I go, no thanks,
Ursula.
Can,
huh?
Ursula. Yeah,
Ursula.
You can
eat that. That's fine.
It was fucking. It was tasty. It was super good. And that, you know, that was that, and whatever. Just you know, hung in, watched movies, did that whole thing. Beyond that, I am now at
Where are you at? I know where you are.
Now at Ipo.
Yeah?
Hammer Now. I just finished the Hammer Now battle. Holy fuck at that, like, moment and reveal and everything.
Super good.
Before that, you get your little pat-sized Don King character and the...
Mr. Sakaguchi makes no sense at all.
No.
Where is he from? Is he Japanese?
He's supposed to be American, but his name... Well,
his name is Sakaguchi!
It doesn't make sense.
And he's 1 foot tall!
Dude. I think his story was that he was born in Japan, but he's like, Japan is weak.
So he goes to other places to
get boxers from there to defeat Japan.
It's the fucking Bob.
What a heel!
It's the Bob Makihara problem from Tenjo Tenji. This giant Jamaican fucking dread guy, Makihara. Ugh. Anyway,
not just Makihara, but Bob Makihara.
It's still a great name.
Kimura versus Mashiba was the shit.
Oh, it's so good!
That was
the execution.
Great fucking fight! Wow, was that good?
There's no reason why it should be good.
Exactly.
Because going into it, you're like, I don't care about this.
Jobber versus somewhat invincible former villain. This should be the shittiest.
Jobber versus villain of the week.
Yeah, I don't think Mashiba's villain of the week.
Well, but in his actual placement in the Ipo storyline, he was a villain of the week.
But then he fucking follows up.
But then he always shows up later.
Stop trying to fuck my sister!
Yeah, it's great. No, it's great.
But I never try, though.
Well... Yeah. Elephant noise.
Exactly. It's also interesting how the second season, which is it's now animated by Madhouse, which is interesting.
Wasn't the first one also animated by Madhouse? I can't remember.
It didn't.
It looks like old anime.
You can fucking tell with the second one.
Yeah.
And the budget increase. Yeah. And the attempts to make Ippo more of a character, I guess, because he was a bit of just like nice guy that's ignorant.
Yeah.
And now he's like nice guy that's ignorant, but also blindingly a fanboy of, like, the dudes that he's looking up to.
It's a little much.
He's, like, making faces and, like, biting his lips and going, like, oh, these guys are so fucking cool.
It's one of those things, like, where it's like, when the more it goes on, you want Ippo to become a little more confident and a little more, like, not as fanboy. It's like, it's fun sometimes, but then you get a little tired of it.
But, well, because now he's even a harder fanboy.
I sure hope you don't care about a resolution of that romance subplot.
Oh, I've given up all hope of that ever fucking going anywhere.
I'm fine with fanboying over Date, because he should.
He's fucking champ!
It's when he's still like, oh, Kimura... Miata. Oh, Miata, you're still my, like, oh, I want to fight you. No! You're better than Miata!
I want to fight your wiener.
I was about to say, by romance, you mean Ippo and Miata, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the courting romance that goes on.
Absolutely.
Nowhere. It's literally the least interesting part of the show.
That's what I talked about when I watched all of it. I'm like, they're building up to Miata versus Ippo as the final match of the series, but I don't care. No,
it's fine because you gotta stare at each other's backs as you chase after them, but also go in the opposite direction.
Like, you can do little things to make Ippo more interesting or more fun. There's nothing you can do with Miata that I can think of that you can make him like super awesome and cool.
Yeah, is Hammer Now a new challenger?
Yeah. Hammer Now is New Challenger. New Challenger is the Australian guy, and then Hammer Now.
And then Takamura's title match.
Well, Ryan Hook! Well, I'm not there yet.
That's some shit.
That's the main part of New Challenger.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Increased budget is fucking great, and it still continues to be one of my favorite things.
They increase the budget again in the next one.
Yeah. So I've heard. There's just so much.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so much.
But you're like, you're more than halfway.
I powered through it.
The unfortunate way is that the way the seasons, like, pan out, once you finish the first quote-unquote season, you're like two-thirds through the series. Because it's 76 episodes, then 26, then 25.
And then two normal seasons.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I hope it keeps like that. I hope they, you know, always 25, 26 every couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think initially the anime, when it goes up to like high ass numbers like that, it's usually because they want this to be like an ongoing, like, weekly thing.
And then they had the fucking decency to stop and wait for it to
No, shows that I feel that, like, shows that end in the 70s, like Hikaru no Go was like that as well. Are like shows that it's like, we want this to possibly go past 100, but maybe we don't have enough.
Maybe
for it,
don't push it. Know? Maybe just
I think I'm gonna have to start reading the manga like really
just
soon.
Yeah.
Because a couple days ago, somebody sent me a panel from the manga, and it's Sawamura versus Mashiba.
Jesus.
And I need to see that fight. You don't even know Sao.
I don't even know who that is.
He's in Rising.
Okay.
The ultimate heel.
Okay.
I need to see Mashaba fight that guy.
Cool.
But then what's at stake? Nothing.
Don't you remember why they don't get along?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, of course.
The quality also...
Yeah, see? There
honor is at stake.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The quality of, like, the fights that have the most build-up, like, I can't believe it actually pays off.
I know!
When he, like, open... When you have this big build-up match and you're like, I'm super excited and, like, everything's on the line here, and then the fucking bell rings and it opens with a Dempsey roll.
Yeah. It's, no one's expecting no,
it's
and then it's just that look on Sendo's face.
Yeah. My favorite moment in the entire series so far. It only happened once, and like it's just a very brief thing, but it's during the first Sendo fight.
Yeah,
and Ippo looks around and the ring is empty.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts to Sendo sliding on the ground. I lost my shit. It was the most dynamic fucking stylish thing ever. And I also learned that, like, again, references in fighting games everywhere.
After Rocky, like, seeing Apollo Creed, I'm like, okay, 18 different fighting game characters just made sense.
In SBC Chaos, they gave Balrog Sendo Smash as an uppercut.
Oh, wow.
Shit. And I now know what it is. You know, it now makes perfect
sense. It's not an uppercut. It's not a hook.
It's a smash.
Yeah.
The fuck is that?
Yeah. You gotta go straight to beat it. Anyway, so that continues. I entered my first Under Night in Birth tournament.
And wow, EX late.
EX late.
Worst title ever.
I made it one round further than I expected to. So
you won one round.
Got one in. Not bad.
Okay, yeah.
And...
You gotta get powered by the anime, Wooly.
Yeah, exactly. And no, that game...
You need to play more Criminal Girls, and then you'll be...
The systems, as confusing as they are to look at, are really cool in the game once you kind of learn it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, just watching dudes, like, play this properly.
Oh, yeah, it looks sick.
It's really legit, man. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, the characters that we picked right off the bat, Big Ass, Claw Guy,
and Merkava,
as well as and
Waldstein Gordo, and Merkava,
Waldstein, Merkava, and Gordo with the giant fucking side. Yeah, they're fucking right up there. Like, they dominate because it's like stupid range.
Come on.
Stupid range.
That sucks.
No, it's great.
The
character should dominate.
And the guy that we thought was like, oh, this looks like he could be like a cool boss type thing, Akatsuki, is actually a guest character that's way down in the list. Like, he's special.
Great.
The girl you like, that's like,
I forget her name.
Cruella de Vil style girl.
Yeah, very Skull Girls Eagle.
She's like, she's the final boss.
I knew it!
So, yeah. Interesting stuff going on there.
But like balance issues, actually, or?
Not balance issues as much as it is like, it's.
They actually made it that way.
It's hard to make it in on the dudes with crazy range, but you can beat them.
Okay.
It's just, it's a fucking uphill battle in the same way that fighting Mitsuru in original P4A is an uphill battle. You know?
Not undoable, but
I started and got some ways into Alien Isolation, which I finally
really
around to. Yeah, because I just never had the time, and then I sat down and been doing it. And... I appreciate.
Did you get to the alien?
I know. No. And
did you get to a gameplay sequence with the alien?
Right? Nope.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking. I'm.
That episode was hard, but
that's
to do.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
For a series for us on the channel, I can imagine that's fucking.
Yeah, we're playing it for like 3 hours. Like, we can't stop recording until we find the alien. And then another half an hour goes by. Like, we can't find the alien. Oh shit!
Those cyborgs replaced the alien because they were scary as shit. Yeah. But, androids.
But every other alien game goes for it right away.
Yeah, too much.
This one doesn't, and that's exactly what I want. And I'm like, I'm glad that I don't hate Ripley's daughter right off the bat.
Yeah, sure.
She's not great. She's not amazing, but she's like fine. She's so fine.
Sure. And I didn't expect to like get as giddy as I did when you're walking around the ship. It's not the Nostromo, but it really kind of looks like the Nostromo.
Yeah, I had the same feeling when I loaded it up. I'm like, I didn't think I had this emotion for the Nostromo architecture.
Yeah.
But, oh my god, they nailed it!
Yeah, yeah, it's like a really, like, it's a feeling where I'm like, oh fuck, like, if I had a screensaver that was just walking around the Nostromo, I'd fucking love it. Like, I don't care.
It sucks because...
Like the Windows 98 3D.
Yeah, just walking through it. Totally, man.
It sucks
I didn't
that
know
even
I had
the
it,
game seems to have sold well, Sega still said they're disappointed, but I hope that doesn't...
Well, it didn't sell 10 million copies, man.
Well, I mean, like, but it still sold enough that I'd like to think that they would go, well, we can make the next one sell even more if we, you know, advertise a bit more and all that, and that we can get a sequel. Because Creative Assembly, for this being their first-person game ever, I think, because they make all the Rome Total Wars and all
but
that.
They've done other action games. Didn't they do Viking?
No, but first-person...
First person's easier than third person.
No, but what I mean is that they did a better job than Gearbox ever did.
Personally, I think it's fucking shocking that a pure stealth horror game sold 1.5 million copies.
That is impressive.
1.76. I think that's what the number was.
Well, my point stands. I think that's fucking mind-blowing.
And to get it after poisoning the well with...
And with a concept that sounds like it would be a bad idea, but but so far isn't because you're respecting the original.
To be fair, it's all it is like a AAA version of Amnesia.
Sure.
So that's a worthy thing to
but
try.
But resisting the urge to make aliens and to make Alien instead.
Well, yeah. To be fair though, like I don't know exactly, but we heard about how in the later 2 hours of the game you get a flamethrower and you kill everything.
Oh, well, we'll see. I guess
we'll see. But maybe that's fine. Cool, maybe that's cool. Justified. Yeah.
Cautiously optimistic so far, and I love how you can just you're fucking playing through it, and mechanics are showing up that are like. This mechanic is really slow and has extra steps so that when you're panicked and running, this is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Right? Pump that power station 3 times. Wait really long to save. Open that gate by doing these extra steps. You're just like, these are going to be panic controls any minute now, you know? So, yeah, we'll see where that goes.
You must really like the low sci-fi aesthetic of it.
Alien.
Right.
But
they actually took it real to heart, whereas, like, someone else might have, if someone else made it, they might have had maybe a computer console show, like, go that forward with the concept of everything has to be the lowest fi thing, instead of just making their own video game version of it.
Yeah.
They just watched the movie obsessively. Up until the shitty 20th Century Fox logo.
You ate the red in the beginning. Exactly, right? Like, I was waiting for a nice, like, alien font fade-in moment. It didn't happen, but that's fine. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But either way, like, we all love, you know, the Aliens franchise and stuff like that, but...
Well...
Like,
we love Alien and Aliens.
The cool, the good stuff about it. We like the good stuff about it. And Xenomorphs are fun. Mm. But, no, I go super, super, super hard for the first one more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I it's like nice to see it finally getting some treatment a little bit.
Just one thing, Matt. Sega didn't say they were disappointed with the sales. It was the guy who made that gaff thread who wrote the title poorly.
Implied
that Sega said that.
Oh, because he looked at the language and said, oh, I think this is what this means. You're right.
Sega was unhappy with Sonic Boom sales, which were...
abysmal.
They were fantastic.
For shovelware?
But abysmal for Sonic. For a mainline Sonic game.
Exactly.
But what the fuck did they expect?
They expected the TV show to carry it.
You know, they can't say in their press release, oh, we realized this was like the worst product ever released.
Exactly.
You can't do
that.
You're talking to be fair, it's like, just don't mention that you're disappointed because you should be happy that you sold this much considering the relative quality of the game. Anyway,
I'll scratch that off the docket. It's fine.
Okay, we canvassed it. All right.
But
that did poor. That did like half a million or something.
A little under half a million.
But it's very poor.
But a mainline Sonic
game
has got it usually.
I still mean that's still good for almost any other game.
Oh, by anyone else's standards.
By other metrics, it's still
But it's just with the brand.
Not by AAA.
You know, quote-unquote IP brand.
The AAA of which Sonic has always been held.
I would argue that all the previous Sonic games like succeeded that.
I don't
Generations?
So.
You don't think Generations is AAA?
Nope. Not even close.
I'd agree. But that's because I have insane hang-ups about Generations.
Sure.
Man, I thought a lot more of us were going to have the new 3DS. I was waiting for, like, a new 3DS roundtable.
What, three of us have one?
Oh, wait. Well, yeah, I guess.
I mean, like, what do you...
It's great. The 3D...
I mean, like I said before, they should have fucking...
But I had a whole setup planned where I was going to say, like, it feels great in the hand, the new 3D... Yeah. I genuinely like the new feeling of it.
Yeah.
The button placement is great. The nub is way better than I expected. It's a shame the build quality is such a piece of shit!
Yeah.
The 3DS I have has 5 dead pixels!
I had 0.
I googled it after Pat told me that, and it's like a semi-common issue.
I went back to EB to tell them.
A lot of people with this problem.
And say, hey man, my fucking Monster Hunter 3DS is all fucked up. He's like, you too? I mean, what do you mean, me too? He says, there are 3 guys that called us that said that their Monster Hunter new 3DSs were fucked up with dead pixels. So I got, and I only noticed after the transfer. I have to wait till Friday. I'm busy Friday. I can't work on Friday because I have to go down to EB and I have no idea how long this is going to take. I don't know if they're going to tell me to do it in the fucking store, which has no internet, which can't be done. I don't know if they're going
to
let me buy it and then refund.
To talk about this.
Hope you guys got a second AC adapter. Because, yeah. So,
and also, that transfer process is fucking terrible.
So let's go. Let's go. Right off the bat. I have a link to a very helpful NeoGAF 3DS transfer guide. If you are like trying to wrap your head around it and confused, check it out. It's in the description of the podcast. Because, wow, that 16-step
It is an hour-long process.
Wow. What? Like, I've done the system transfer before from 3DS to XL. Is it that hard?
No, it's just that shitty video he's talking about is like 4 idiots. Like, it covers things that people should.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't cover everything.
But there's so easy to fuck up, and there's things where it's like, make sure, like during transfer, if you have over 4 gigs, I believe, like your transfer can take a while, and you've got to have both of your consoles open, and your message says to make sure your thing's plugged in,
but
if you don't have one AC adapter, guess what? You got to fucking pull a Gerstmann and set your clock to wake you up.
Oh, that's upsetting.
To switch between the fucking power sources.
That didn't even strike me.
Just in case one of them dies, and you irrevocably lose your data.
two weeks ago on the Bombcast, both him and both Jeff and Dan had the same problem, where they decided to do the full transfer over wireless, which, if you have a large card, can take up to 11 hours. But the fucking systems die in 5.
It's fucking clown.
So they both had to swap.
What do you mean a large card?
If you have
a 32 gig card that's full of games,
and then you're transferring it to a
32 gig on your original 3DS.
Yeah, and then you put a micro SD
and you start doing the transfer. Because
I was like, it took an hour for mine, but I had an 8 gig card that was almost filled to the max.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it didn't take too long for me. But if you have a 32 gig card,
even me,
filled.
I did it in the fastest possible way, where I had a micro SD in my current one and then just switched the cards.
That's what I did.
Adding the process where you have to unscrew the back and swap the cards, you did that?
No.
You must have done that. That process is fucking nerve-wracking because the screws make a weird click noise when you turn them.
That's normal. It's a screw.
It sounds like you're stripping them.
The step after that where it's like, are you using a micro SD card or a normal SD card? Yes or no? And it's like, select no if you are not using a micro SD card. And it's like the easiest thing to fuck up because it's a yes no answer to a binary question.
On forums, I've been seeing there are people that do the whole process and go, uh oh. My shit fucked up.
I lost my 350-hour Pokemon save.
I'm seeing people whose systems are just straight up erroring out during the process and wiping their shit. And even I did way more research than the average person. And I had all the tools and I had everything to fucking do it. It still took me an hour. And there were parts of it that, like, the language is not clear. And I got, this is outrageous. This is so bad.
And then when I just think about the
fact that I
opened up my PlayStation TV,
right,
and fucking it goes, hey man, what's up? You got an account? Yeah. All right, sign in. Cool. Done.
Worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, you're a person like me or Liam who might have 3 Vita things, and it says, oh, you got to go onto the website to disallow the to oldest one, because yeah. you can have two home consoles. So you do that, and then you go into the options and say, make this a home console, and you're done.
God forbid the new 3DS you bought has promotional shit on it, right? In which case...
The process becomes more complex and weird.
Because you can't... Well, first of all, you can't make an account on it and then make the transfer happen.
No, then the transfer won't do it.
Yeah. So you have then got to do the transfer with the system that has your shit on it, and then it'll attach the license once it's done.
And then you
gotta
re-download
those games that were already on the console.
Because they deleted it as part of the process.
And now they just add the ownership to your eShop. When it really could have just been
I know.
The same data, but attach your license to it and it's done. You know?
Dang.
Yep. I don't... It's weird. It's just... I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
It is... The fact...
It's not that like, hard to make an account.
Say you say
yes,
people...
Yes, it is. Now.
Say you say people...
They can't make one now.
Yeah, but they had 10 years.
Yeah, but they didn't do it.
I know.
No, but it's like...
But mention of it now.
It's pretty much like... It's even... The Nintendo regardless of how we got to this point...
No, of course.
At this point, it's now totally unacceptable.
They have to make
one. Well, yeah, that's what we all theorize. That's why Nintendo's
bad. Yeah, of course. So you can make the argument that people that fucked up and lost their stuff because they didn't read the instructions carefully
or didn't have a second AC adapter.
It's mostly their fault because they didn't read it properly. They didn't prepare. Fine, whatever. Even if you're right, the fact that the scenario is possible that you can lose your shit in the transfer process is unbelievable. And calling Nintendo up and hopefully they know they can redo your shit. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. Fuck.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
I am dreading doing it again.
I didn't even think of the two charger things. I'm going to have to borrow my girlfriend's charger.
Yeah,
like,
just in case.
Because I know one of my chargers I gave to a friend because he lost his.
Unless you want to fucking babysit your... you know what I mean? And
I don't want it.
Well, I had two chargers, so it's no problem, but...
Yeah, but most people don't keep their old handhelds instead of trading them in. Like,
no, I do. I just gave one to a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
And I only own one.
Yeah. It's fucking...
God, they should have fucking shipped a charger with that machine. It still upsets me.
They should have.
Remember that fucking guy on Twitter who was like, "You guys can't cover Nintendo worth shit," and we were like, "Because they didn't ship a charger with it." Damn it, that guy was frustrating.
I didn't see that.
With the Attack on Titan avatar, you remember that guy?
He's complaining of what?
He was like, "You guys can't talk Nintendo worth shit because the charger shouldn't be included because of this," and it's like.
Is it the same guy that was like,
wait, he's defending the fact that there's no charger?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
That's undefendable.
I know. And he got really angry at all four of us on Twitter, and you replied.
Oh!
And I replied.
Oh, good job defending them, is what he said to us.
He said a couple
of things. Like, whatever the seriousness of not putting the charger in is, like, how much you value that as a problem, it's still bad.
Yeah.
They should have put the charger in.
And well, especially if you have to do this transfer style process. Like, if that didn't exist, it would be a problem. But now it's a way bigger problem.
It sucks because it's like it mars what's relatively like this is the best version of this handheld.
Yeah,
the games are great, but it's like
once I get my new replacement one or whatever, and it doesn't have any dead pixels or fucked up circle pad or gouges in the plastic or whatever the fuck all these things are,
and
my shit's transferred. This is like. I really, really like this thing. I think it's the best Nintendo handheld since the DS Lite.
But someone had to make this guide to clarify
people. But the amount, it is going to take me a month to catch up on playtime compared to frustration time. Like, the amount of hours I've spent being frustrated with the process and with the fucked up screen and all that stuff.
Upset. Mm.
Every time I play Monster Hunter, all I can see is the fucking dead pixels. They're fine! It's hard to avoid!
Dead pixels suck, yeah.
There are two that are right next to one another. So it's one,
so it's one
giant,
it's like dead rectangle.
One slightly bigger dead pixel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Horseshit.
So with that, we already got...
That'll save Nintendo.
Yeah. We rolling started right into the news, so let's go straight to the next biggest thing. Rock, paper, shotgun to Molyneux.
Well, hold on.
You're a pathological liar?
We invented a segment for this last week.
Molyneux.
That's right.
Yeah, just preface it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's
Molyneux is back.
To be fair, this is the exact same story last week.
But it's like with a new twist.
The sexy twist.
With an unprofessional twist. Which is, man, this Rock, Paper, Shotgun interview, if you could even read it because it was getting hammered all day.
That was my favorite part, is that people, like, this article is so popular that Rock, Paper, Shotgun is crawling.
It is a, like, public lynching.
I thought this was a fake article at first, because I was like, there's no way anyone would have the balls to ask these questions.
The first question he asks him is, do you think you're a pathological liar? Like, okay.
Now...
So, there's different...
There are different views here.
Exactly.
And I want to try and knock a couple of these out of the park right away so we can get to the meat of the article.
Sure.
Journalists and subjects, that is an adversarial relationship.
Yeah.
The level of perceived or supposed politeness will vary depending on your personal region and your personal tastes.
However, asking loaded questions is unprofessional.
Yes. So, is this... interview perfect? No. Is it like a not as good version of a political style adversarial interview?
Much, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
If you want, like, if you want what that kind of if you want that kind of interview and see what it's supposed to be at
Frost
its at its no at its height,
okay.
You go and look at the interviews that Australia was doing with Tony Abbott, the piece of shit Australian Prime Minister that everyone hates.
Okay.
And the first question in that from a female interviewer was, are you a dead man walking, Mr. Abbott?
Okay.
Okay? So when you're dealing with people...
I'd say Fox versus Nixon.
But, but people that run countries should be under a bigger microscope than, say, some jerk that makes, that doesn't make video games.
Absolutely, but that doesn't... Like, for the purposes of
he's a nice
interview
guy.
Logic. Yeah,
not a jerk, right?
Well, I mean, when is that guy going to get his money from Goddess?
Yeah. So hold on.
I'm just saying. Yeah, like, there's lots to be said about him, but he's a nice man.
We're gonna go into that in a moment.
Sure.
But, like, interview politeness, everyone will follow on a different side. Me, personally, I would have loved to see it double mean. I am so sick. Okay. Manu has had a lot of overpromising things.
Yeah. Oh,
and I think that he has earned a level of...
scorn?
Scorn. And not disrespect, but when you deal with people that are slippery, sometimes you might have to get a little terse to grab a hold of them and say, no, fucking answer the question. Just answer it.
Now, the thing is that when... Like, he's obviously, like, a target that's... Like, everyone's going, oh my god, right, with what's all recently gone on about the Brian Henderson, was that his name, I think, perhaps?
Something like that,
But the guy who won, Curiosity, being ignored and all that stuff, and it's like, just a ton of,
Curiosity,
really, as we talked about last week, just, like, unforgivable actions in terms of, like, not following up on that and just, you know, the overpromising that we all are aware of.
The mode that would pay that guy might never get into the game.
No, but the other thing too, though, is that, like, when I kind of see, like, the way this interview sort of went down, I can't help but think, like, okay, I wish that sort of thing would happen for fucking execs that work for EA and Activision. And, like, when shit happens at
They're smart enough to, like, just never talk to anyone.
You know what I mean?
Anyone.
The people that you can't get away with asking these questions to, like, it would be great to see them held to this type of grill.
Sure.
But you never will.
Because they're not the mouth... Their job is not to speak. Because
when you put them in front of a camera, they say, go buy the Xbox 360.
Or
one platform.
And they pull it forever.
Well, 360, yes.
Patrick, you can't talk to anyone ever again.
And the thing is that, like, you know, Molyneux, like, for all he has to account for, there's no... He's the end of the wall. Like, there's no giant thing behind him that's going to come get you and fuck over.
Because of the way the Kickstarter went, and he is the source,
he's
the
target
and the last point.
He's a safer target for you. And, like, he deserves the crosshairs on him, but he's a safer target than, again, someone that works at a larger, bigger company that has like, way
the
more
only,
bullshit.
The only interview I can ever remember in the entire industry that's anything close to this was the Dan Shu interview with Peter Moore.
Yep.
And Peter is way better at this than Molyneux is. And that interview went nowhere, and it ended up being kind of useless. But I appreciated it. I appreciated him asking Peter Moore why Barbie Horse Adventures worked on Xbox compatibility
and why
and not and Mortal Kombat. Togi or whatever.
Yeah. The Jedi hand waved his way out of the entire thing.
Because he's a pro.
But so here's the thing, is that, like, if you see Peter Molyneux and you're at, like, or anybody, anyone that's something under similar circumstances at, like, GDC or at, like, a con, you're free to go up to him and say, hey, thanks for blah, blah, blah. You're free to do that. But when you invite someone in for an interview, I also feel it's kind of disingenuous and a little dishonest to start off an interview with a thing like that, because it's under the pretense that this is going to be an interview, and they might say it's going to be frank, it's going to be to the point, and then you catch someone off guard, and I kind of feel that's the part of this interview where I'm like, I don't think that's exactly
I totally disagree.
I think it was a great interview.
I totally disagree with you. If you're doing shit, then you should expect that every interview will call you out.
No. You can call him out on that, but saying, are you a pathological liar, as your first question is a little rough.
Pathological liar isn't an evil thing to ask. Pathological lying is just when you lie casually. And it's not an evil trait. It's just an objective thing.
I don't think he would have fun answering that question.
So
then you say, do you think you overpromise things, or do you think, like, just, I just find the way they come out with it is a little too harsh.
There was a massive like developer like reaction in terms of a lot of people going like, "Wow, Rock Paper Shotgun, what the fuck?
I'm never gonna do an interview with them."
Yeah,
it's like, okay, so you're assholes. Is that what we're supposed to take away from this?
No, because they see someone that's in their industry getting flamed under maybe false pretenses.
The thing is that,
and they're defending them because they're putting themselves in his position.
What I was kind of trying to say though was that, like, you know, there's unprofessional questions, there's loaded questions in there, and a lot of that stuff.
Interview ain't perfect.
But there is
more important than this
information that needed to be uncovered, this got to the bottom of quite a few things.
Yes, it did.
Some of them which clarified shit for Peter.
For the public,
in terms of, like, did they have those forums that they talked about? And they did. And a couple other things where last week it was just like, okay, we're going off of this one guy's post.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of it came out where Peter was just like, well, this is the state of it. And at the end of the day, you're looking at the list and 80% of it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But we probably never would have gotten these answers if that interview wasn't as hard-hitting as it was.
Now, that being said, I think that the logic process and the fucking mental gymnastics that Molyneux will perform in order to avoid admitting that I lied is some absurd shit. When you have things like, hey, remember when this guy joined the fucking team at such and such a date? No, that's impossible. He couldn't have joined at such and such a date because he joined after this.
Honestly don't think that was a lie because he asked the guy,
hey, when did you join?
Like, and I think then the guy said, no, I wouldn't have asked.
That's not the problem. The certainty in which he said something which was completely false, that's the root of the problem.
That's not a lie, it's a mistake. I disagree. No, that's not true. If you make an error and you're certain about your error, it's not a lie. You just made a mistake.
I think for him to even ask reveals
you have to know
that he at least believed
lying
in what he was saying.
I think
he would not have asked if he was lying.
That represents his viewpoint on, like, almost everything in terms of, you know, it's like, are you a liar? And his answer is generally no, but
are you lying about that?
I was wrong and miscalculated and thought that it was right at the time.
Sure.
And you continuously miscalculate over and over and over again. Does being in the games
industry for over 30 years, he did tons of wrong stuff on this project.
Yeah.
I just think that instance that Pat is talking about was a mistake, or he wouldn't have immediately asked for clarification.
Here's why that particular thing bothers me, because you are technically correct, but I think if you constantly make huge factual errors with almost everything you say, even if they're genuine, if you do that for 30 years and don't stop, then you are in effect lying because you know you're going to say things that are just completely wrong all the time.
Now, also recall that he says this will be my last interview and then gave three others that day.
They were the same day. Like, I think that's kind of what he meant.
But he lied.
Oh, come on. I think that's kind of what he meant was just like, I'm done with interviews.
And it was an emotional
thing. It was an emotional thing. But yeah, well, he did. And they made a note of that in the thing, too.
Personally, I resent the constant... Like, hey, when are these people going to get their money and the response, or when are they going to get their things that you promised them? And the response is, why are you trying to make me so depressed? Why are you trying to run me out of the industry? That's bullshit. Mm-hmm. That ploy for sympathy.
That is.
Yeah.
Even if it's not, like Sterling said it today on this thing and it was amazing. Even if it's not an act, even if he is 100% genuine, it is a routine at this point. I'm sick of it. No one's trying to say you don't work hard, man. No one's trying to say that you don't bust your ass at your job or that you don't mean well. Instead, what people are saying is, why are you full of shit?
They also clarified how many people are working on the trial, how many people are left working on...
and most of those people are not actually developers. They're former, like, secretarial or, like... miscellaneous production staff.
I had a moment when I got to the end of this that just fucking, like, it's one of those, like, anime things where, like, the fucking spark of light behind your head goes, ugh, and, like, your spine kind of, where I just thought, this motherfucker was Bullfrog, man. He made Syndicate.
He didn't make Syndicate.
Well, he was on the Syndicate. Like,
was
they're,
he?
They're the guys
Syndicate,
that made Syndicate.
Syndicate,
made Syndicate.
Syndicate
Peter
and Populous.
Peter Molyneux was part of Syndicate?
Yeah.
Syndicate, Populous.
I've just never heard
Dungeon
Syndicate
Keeper.
Associated with
Absolutely.
Him at all.
Those
the other ones I have.
Those three games you mentioned are the games that he made with no bullshit.
And it's like, you are old school genre inventing genius.
Yeah, but he's
right?
been doing bullshit for way longer than
but
he was doing this.
I know, and I just had that, like, oh my god, I can't believe this is what I'm reading and this is what it's come to.
So,
from something so... It's like a cat god thing. You know what I mean? You're just like, what
so I was,
happened?
I was recently informed...
Bullfrog was fucking godlike.
Of two things from various sources about like his time in the games industry, which put a nice like lens or filter on this. And that's how he got his start in the games business. He made a game way back in the day. I think it was for the Atari or the Amiga or something like that. And it did not do well commercially. It did incredibly poorly, and he was out. He had to get out of the business, couldn't do it anymore, and ended up getting a job as a baked beans exporter to the Middle East.
That's sick.
And I'd
do that job.
And what happened was his company name ended up being incredibly similar to another developer, a video game developer. And he was called up by a company thinking that he was the developer of video games and not a baked bean exporter. And they brought him in, said, okay, so we want you to make this game, and we're going to give you these 10 computers.
Shut up.
And you can make this for, I think it's the Amiga. And he has, in an interview, spoken about how that was the moment of his life where he had a little angel and a little devil on his shoulder, and I guess this can lead into black and white, I guess. And the angel's like, you can't lie like this, man. You can't do it. You can't take these computers. But the devil's like, but you could just make a game with it and sort it out later.
Yeah.
And he made a game with it and sorted it out later.
Yeah. That's nuts, man. And
the other thing is that on one of the updates or one of the things on their own forums or what have you, he described how Kickstarter hurt Goddess. Because with Kickstarter, you feel desperate to get that 100,000 extra pounds, so you'll say anything in order to hit the Kickstarter milestone.
That's what I've seen a lot of people have problems with. Since we're helping out the guys that are making Strafe, they're like, thanks for throwing all of us under the
bus. Threw the entire Kickstarter movement under the bus. Because he said... And in that interview, he says, well, we didn't ask for how much Goddess would need. Because we knew we wouldn't get it.
So instead, we asked
what Goddess could get, and then we'd figure out our way. Fuck you.
And that's,
fuck you.
That from day one of Kickstarter, like maybe 50 episodes ago, we talked about exactly that thing.
Yeah.
With Kickstarters.
Like, that is an overt
and just
untruth.
Going, like, I'm going to cut this down and ask for what I think I can get, but not what it actually means.
And then you,
then act as if that's
the
amount.
And then you add stretch goals when you don't have the money to do the original goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everyone who backed this thing after the point in which Linux was added as a stretch goal should get a free refund. A full refund. Because if I backed that thing and wanted it on Linux, because all I have is Linux, and then I find out now that the engine they chose doesn't support Linux, I'd be furious.
You know, that's the one thing that I disagree on, only on the contingent of, like, that's just fucking how Kickstarter works. You're not buying a product, man.
Sure.
Like, you should do the research first.
Yes, you should.
Well, here's the thing.
I get you, and I understand.
And Liam, like, that's why there's no legal recourse.
Yeah, of course.
But, hey, getting angry
he deserves super all the backlash
warranted.
In the world.
Getting angry is super allowed because there's no legal
recourse. The final responsibility lies on the people pledging money, because it may never come back to them.
Yeah.
But that doesn't absolve people who rip them off.
No, definitely.
Of being dirtbags.
Oh, no, he deserves the guilt.
Yeah,
and
no,
the,
I agree. But
when I read the actual questions that are like, don't you think you owe everyone their money back? It's like,
well, here's the deal. I think that money should have gone back the day they decided to choose an engine that didn't support Linux.
And
it should have never been a stretch goal to begin with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And I think that might have legal recourse in that you're offering this thing that you if they could prove that they never intended to offer
risks
Linux,
and challenges.
That's outrageous.
Risks and challenges.
Right?
Yeah. It's right there at the bottom of the page, man.
But the most frustrating thing about the whole thing is when he describes the development problems or this or that. All of it boils down to making games is hard. Right? That's the general thing.
Yeah,
it's like,
sure.
Well, Obsidian's doing fine with their Kickstarter. Harebrain Schemes did great with their Kickstarter. So did the guys who made Chivalry and FTL.
There's Kickstarter, you're supposed to
plan for mishaps.
Wooly and Liam played a game where it was made by two guys, and they were able to make a game and release it. So are you telling me that you... who has 30 years of experience.
Yes. Are you either you're full of shit or you're the most incompetent project manager that the world has ever
and
seen.
And it's just weird when you think about the history of, like, okay, like, Bullfrog, as far as I know, basically, like, that ended when EA came in, fucked everything up.
Yes.
And so he's like, alright, well, let's do Lionhead now, because fuck that.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with that shit.
It's fine.
And it's like, publisher gets involved, fucks it up. And then, similar thing again, 22 Cans, publisher fucks it up. And now we kind of see, okay, we don't need publishers, fuck them. Mm.
And
here and
now,
it's like,
the, now the consumer will be the publisher.
Consumer will be the publisher.
Peter Molyneux has the same problem
and then,
that Tim Schafer does. You just can't ship anything on time.
And the, yeah, and now the public gets a really harsh fucking drag through the coarse sand lesson in this is actually what a publisher does.
I hate sand.
They show up and they're the dick.
Gets
but
everywhere.
They beat you until the game comes out.
My favorite statement. My favorite statement in that whole thing is that when the interviewer is asking him over and over, "When are these things going to come out? When are people going to get the features that you promised them?" He says, "What are you getting on my case for all these dates things?
You sound like
a publisher." It's like, yeah, people paid you money to make a thing.
Mm-hmm. In my entire,
they deserve to yell at you to do it.
Because his answer should have been, well, when they're completed. But it's like this deflection of, I don't even want to answer your question.
What are you bothering me about this? Who cares?
Why do you keep hustling me?
In the 3-digit projects that I've looked at over the years in QA, I have never once seen a developer-publisher relationship that was friendly, amicable, or not at least slightly aggressive.
Strained at best, you'd say.
You know, and it's like, now people are learning through, like you said, Schafer and this and that. It's like, fuck, man.
While there is a similarity with the way the Schafer Kickstarter went, let's not make the comparison.
No.
Schafer is not.
But I just
want to make sure that comparison is specific.
Yeah, it's the money going out of control.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Type of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I really mean. So yeah, that's wow.
I fucking hope that this guy never gets a single dollar of consumer-backed money ever again.
without a product being sold?
Yeah. Yes. That being said, you see the huge amount of people like jumping to his defense. Because, man, he just loves games. Why are you so mean to him? Because he ripped people off of half a million pounds.
A billion's a lot.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it through the doublespeak and really understand, but in the end, at the part where it's like, does the Steam version of Goddess have a publisher or not? Does it?
It does not.
It doesn't.
So the argument...
It's just for the servers, apparently.
The argument is that he said it's
unclear.
I didn't get it.
Here's the deal. He wanted to go to Kickstarter so that they would have no publisher because fuck publishers, right? And then Goddess, that Kickstarter was for the PC version, but part of that, they said there will also be a mobile version that comes out first, mm-hmm. right? Well... They said, well, we need the publisher for the mobile version, which isn't technically part of the Kickstarter. But because they want everyone to play together, multiplayer, that means that publisher problems on the mobile versions hold up the kickstarted PC version. So yeah. they said, so, you're not going to have a publisher,
okay.
and then we get into it, and it's like, it technically doesn't have a publisher, but the publisher still fucking things up.
And they're involved, and it's involved, yeah.
So it is one of those things where it is true in the letter of the agreement, but it is not true in the spirit of the agreement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because people backed it going, no publisher, just you and 22 cans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we're here, and now publisher issues and middleware problems about the publisher are now seeping into this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like on the surface level, it also makes this kind of weird something to be passionate about, at least for me, because it's like Milo and Curiosity.
Oh,
and
Milo,
Goddess,
yo.
All of these things, it's like, I was never interested in any of these things. And then a lot of people don't even care about the games. They're angry or have passionate statements about the issue.
That's me. I'm one of those people.
So, like, kind of me, like, Goddess, you know, fine. The Curiosity and all the other stuff. I'm like, just like, I don't care about any of these products.
Milo would have revolutionized the channel.
It would have revolutionized the channel. We could have checked in with him every week.
Yeah.
It would have been
talk fucking overpromise horse shit. Milo was never real. Every statement ever made by Milo was fucking horse shit.
Well, and that's why I feel like the opening question of "Are you a pathological liar?" is the appropriate one.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It feels like
how did you fucking stand there and talk to this robot video that's completely fabricated?
It feels like Mon Yoon went into the interview thinking that he'd have a lot of room to breathe and a lot of space to move with, but slowly but surely he got cornered by obstacles popping out of the ground and backing him into a corner.
Oh shit.
Perhaps tree or rock-like obstacles,
I love going from this really not fun topic to like the most fun.
Let's get into some hype shit. Yeah. Agonos for Killer Instinct.
That's
is
Golem, right?
Amazing, the Golem.
Yeah, Golem. Mm-hmm.
Holy shit! What an awesome
show
fucking
me
character.
After this. Show me. The
last time we talked about this, there were no details other than this is a big guy and he can make walls. And I was talking to Max how I came into the stream way late because we were recording something. And when I came in, I was like, oh, that's disappointing. Because I came in like the last 10 minutes. And up until that, I was all pretty sure that he was going to be a 360 grappler, like Geef or someone, and he creates walls to close the distance. And when I was watching the end of the stream, I go, oh, this isn't as cool as what I wanted. Then when the stream was archived,
and I watched the breakdown from the start,
I was like, this is so much better and more interesting, because I missed all the stuff at the start.
So, Giant fighting...
The comparison picture
for how large his size is, I forgot, that's a big character.
Like,
the camera zooms out to accommodate him, so that
so
it doesn't overlap the life bars,
which you need to see.
This character, it's like fighting game characters that are giants that are not grapplers are rare. You know, it's extremely rare.
Like Juggernaut,
PTX,
Juggernaut, PTX, and like Hulk are not really grapplers.
Exactly. And this fucking character has such. Remember what I said last time about, like, Omen and, like, trying to push the boundaries of, like, fighting game rules?
Well, gimmick characters,
But it's not just a gimmick. It's, like, we're changing...
Well, they're building off of a gimmick and making it into a legitimate mechanic.
Because we've seen so much of the same.
Let's push this mechanic to its utter extreme and see what we get.
So, yes, right? The obvious one thing is, yeah, he stomps and fucking barriers come out either behind him or behind you, and he closes the stage space so that you have less room
to move. Makes more corner.
Yeah, right?
But the walls can take three hits and then they get destroyed.
There are multiple ways that that you can destroy them. They take three hits when you smash them into it. You get smashed into them, or vice versa.
Yeah.
If you knock him to the ground, he shakes the ground, and every wall takes a hit.
Yeah. Fine, that seems good.
Or he can do a move that smashes you through it for extra damage.
And it's a
new
mechanic called the wall smash.
And if he plants more than one wall behind you, boom, 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 boom.
80% damage.
Now, if there's a wall behind him, he can grab it, and now he's got a club.
What?
And the club is full screen
swings,
normal.
Like,
but the club also takes, you can only get three hits out of it.
Oh, that's good.
And then it breaks, right?
That breaks.
That include blocked hits?
No, I think it's like connect. The opponent blocking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
He also has a wind-up hit with that club, and it acts as a command throw.
Yeah, so when you do his normal throw with the club in hand, it's a command throw, meaning it's untackable.
Yeah.
Right? His other main mechanic is he's got rock orbs floating in his stomach.
Chunks.
Okay.
Right? Generally at zero, you're normal, you move fine, everything's as is.
Okay.
The more chunks you have, the slower you move, the slower your moves are.
Your jump is smaller.
Right, you're heavier and clunkier, but you have a hit of armor.
Oh,
so
no.
You can get four
hits of armor, but you're really slow, or you can
four
stabilize.
Hits of armor is a lot, man.
But everything you do is really slow, or you can stay.
Yeah, but you're going on a game plan of like, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah,
and then bam.
With those chunks,
they also become projectiles.
You can throw them, you
and
can
the
roll
projectile
them.
Is called payload of salt.
Yeah, payload of salt. So
one, you roll it on the ground. The other bounces, and the other he breaks the chunk into a shotgun spread
that hits you five times. Right? It's fucking great. His range and hits are obviously giant fucking swings.
Swings, yeah. He has a blanka ball.
What? It's on the ground. And
he
rolls
in a giant boulder, and he can bounce if he likes.
My Twitter update was just like, I don't know what just happened, but Keats put a blanka ball on Killer Instinct. I will follow him to the ends of the earth.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought you were joking.
Nah, dude. and his instinct mode is...
Gives him unlimited clubs
to keep going on you, just wail on you. And then when he beats you, he, like, buries you in rocks and puts a flower on the fucking
ground. That's nice.
Because he's a peaceful golem. Mm. He's just, like, you know, instructed... His story is that I hate Khonra, and I've been instructed to kill Khonra. So I've chased him throughout the centuries.
Is that why he's all busted up and shit?
Just time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently his retro costume will be when he was at his peak.
So he's all, like...
So it's all that gleaming green nice armor stuff. That he has, not the rocks and boulders.
And the tree parts
awesome.
And such.
That's really cool.
Like, the character is way, way more interesting. And when they showed the matches with him, they said, we know this all seems like he's really good.
But it's
hard to win with.
Yeah.
And you can throw him. Everyone said, can you throw this guy?
Absolutely.
They're like, yeah, that's actually one of his main weaknesses.
Keats had a tweet like later on that night. It was like, but can you throw him, though? After answering that question like 80 times. Yeah.
He's big, though.
Yeah, no, it's just a really creative character.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
You know, and again, I can see it how it's like, hard to win, because he has a lot of, like, tricks for getting the rock loads into him.
But he's overwhelmingly slow.
And
like,
it takes us a good 2 seconds to put the rock in and recover from
you
that.
You need time.
You need tricks, you know, to cover that. And when
Western fighting games, doing gonzo shit.
Getting creative with it.
Man, when's Beowulf coming?
Soon.
So I held off playing as Eliza because I'm waiting until Beowulf's in.
Yeah. So you have a couple characters to sink your teeth into. Yeah,
but it's like I said, it's always that second generation of fans of a thing that are now making their own versions of thing.
Yeah,
but like way better thought out and more advanced and interesting, because we've all seen all the iterations of the original.
I want instead of Marvel versus Capcom or Capcom versus SNK, I want East versus West.
Oh jeez,
fuck. That's pretty cool.
I want two characters from like six franchises.
world fighting
get
game.
Get Harada on it is all I can say.
Harada will do it.
Yeah. When Harada's not wearing his awesome Pikachu onesie.
I'm like, he's so lifeless where he's standing with that.
That's why it's perfect.
That's why it's perfect, exactly.
If he was smiling, the picture would have been ruined.
Yeah.
The fact that he's all grumpy and has his sunglasses on.
No, man, he's serious. It's business time.
It's serious business time in my serious business onesie.
Now, Harada and Pikachu in Pikachu costume and that Pokken tournament, like, fucking barrage of video and whatnot.
It gives life.
It gives life. It gives life. But you know what takes life?
Mm-hmm.
Footage of Pokemon Shuffle.
What the fuck's Pokemon Shuffle?
It's
just a mobile game on 3DS.
Yep,
with Pokemon on it.
That's the best.
It's Candy Crush.
It's Candy Crush with Pokemon. And we saw the trailer for it, and I was like, okay, sure, that's fine. But it wasn't a problem until they revealed the free to play mechanics.
This is why when the fucking shareholders say Nintendo start putting out mobile games, this is exactly why you shouldn't.
This shit. I feel like this is trying to trick their investors.
Yeah.
Because their investors say, hey, make games for mobile.
Micro, show us micro.
No, they'll do good with this.
Their investors say, put your games on smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow that gets turned into, put smartphone games on your handheld.
So I don't think so. They've been experimenting with all ranges of free-to-play, including stuff like Steel Diver Subwars, which was a full 3D shooter.
Is it a third-person or first-person shooter, whatever?
Third. I didn't actually play it.
But yeah,
Denpa Ningen in Japan got like over 1.8 million downloads. Like, free play, they're doing good on 3DS. So
but they're experimenting with
all tiers.
But this is what we're. This is like the straight up lifted. Like, you know what it is? It's the energy bar. They have the energy bars in there.
Damn
it. You've got the hearts, and every half an hour you restock one energy bar.
Even associated with a game, I'm just like, you're not get out.
And it's not
of
like, yeah, it's not, much. It's not, and it's not even like the Resident Evil thing where it's like, oh, if you lose, you go get this. It's it takes one to play.
Way worse.
You use one to play it.
The energy bar is probably the most hated mechanic.
The most upsetting thing is what I saw the trailer and I thought it was a new Pokemon Troze game, and it's
Welcome to the Infinite series. Like, now with Nintendo doing these, like, it's not just going to be fucking SNK pachinko games that get us. Like,
well,
now
games that you can play.
Now the door is open for this shit to
as long
to
as
fuck us every time.
As long as it's Pokemon, it's fine, because it's like, yeah, Pokemon, it's your most bankable thing, and that makes sense to make it a shitty mobile game. But as long as it's not like Battle Clash, and then it's got an energy bar, then I will, fuck you.
Yeah, and
bring back, like, Fatal Fury is, like, the worst, and Garou and all that shit.
The equally horrifying other possibility is that this ends up being a like, cardboard stand that basically says, shovelware, now welcome, you know? And people are rushing to
get their existing...
like microtransaction mobile games onto the 3DS.
Yeah. There's
actually a lot of free to play games on 3DS in Japan.
But
a free to play Initial D game in Japan.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's garbage.
But I mean the scum systems.
You know what Wii U would be really good for? Video poker.
Yeah.
Just tap the.
But I don't know. Nintendo sized up so much in the past few years that it doesn't seem to have really impacted their like dedicated development too much.
No, I guess not.
So hopefully they continue only making them at the pace.
Hey man, I'll take dirtbag free to play gambling games if it means they have to put in an account system.
Yeah, it's true. Eh?
Hopefully this fucking game just like lays dry bones on the ground and fuck. And
no, it'll make $1 billion.
It'll make $1 billion.
It's gonna do great. Yeah, you know,
it's gonna be a fantastic.
Start vomiting now.
Oh yeah, no, just in advance. Well, you say that, but
I'm gonna
wait for the final nail in the coffin of The Last Guardian. But let's be real. Right now, the announcement that we read today is The Last Guardian's trademark was abandoned as of the 16th.
In all regions.
That doesn't mean canceled. It could be renamed.
Doesn't really mean anything.
Doesn't mean much.
Exactly.
You don't know. Yeah. It could be
renamed.
The fact that it'd be renamed is also makes no sense.
Yeah.
So then you lose all of those. Not lose them, but people will be confused when it actually does.
Shadow of the Colossus got renamed, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, but it also
used to be Nico.
Yeah, but we also never saw it as Nico ever.
No, sure.
Yeah.
But it was
called Wander.
But I don't think Wander the Colossus.
Japan.
And it's
been 8 years.
But that was a localization thing.
So
I don't think this is the death knell, though. And I think anyone who thinks it is overreacting.
Me and Liam were talking about this before, and I was like, how long has it been since we've seen
a minute,
anything? And that game was announced in 2000.
Six.
I want to say seven. I want to say seven. But the last piece of footage or any talk about its actual real game development was 2009 at TGS.
Yeah, but there has been, like Versus 13, the peppered statements of it's actually still there.
I just mean, when's the last time anyone in the public got to see that this existed?
Yeah.
And that was exactly 6 years ago.
We have a mutual friend on Facebook who said today, I wish they'd stop teasing The Last Guardian. It's like, when was the last time they teased The Last Guardian?
Yeah, that implies that there's been teasing. Well,
they haven't been talking about it. Everyone just wants to know.
Depending on how extreme you view it, you could interpret Yoshida saying that it's still in development as a tease.
But that Marilyn Monroe is such a tease.
We're like,
I wish she'd stop it.
Someone gets to the interview. That the last time The Last Guardian had any news was when Marilyn Monroe was still alive.
It's like someone gets to the interview, asks the question, and then the interview is its own article, and there's a new article with the headline, Sony teases The Last, or whatever. And sure. It's like, they haven't been doing it. Like,
what's really can't wait weird for that game that to come out. Why is Sony
you
like,
will wait.
Why is I Sony will wait. Like you this can do with nothing this game takes, only?
Well, it's taking a long time to downport it to Vita.
No, right, you said this before, and I wanted to punch him.
But no, I'm actually legit. Time, like this is very Nintendo-like behavior from Sony
in the meantime,
about a game.
It's all good. Just get your Episode Dusuke demo and play it for hours. Because Final Fantasy XV is going to have a demo packed in with Final.
So
Fantasy
we knew XV. This. But the language about its release...
This was known, yeah.
Yeah, we knew that... The original thing was they said, hey, FF15 demo coming with Type-Zero. And everyone went, yeah! And then they came out and said...
Limited.
Then they came out and said, we don't know if the demo will be ready by the time the game comes out. And people went, oh...
Well, at least it's still in there.
At least it's in there, because of FF15's release date stuff, everyone was like, well, what if it's 10 years from now or something? No. And then they finally came out and said, no, actually, the demo will be there with Type-Zero.
I'm super excited. Like that looks fucking awesome.
I'm trying to ignore it because I've been burned so bad by Final Fantasy, and it makes me honest to Christ depressed. About like when I think about Final Fantasy. So I need to just fucking ignore this
right.
until Type-Zero comes out, and then I know it's good. I know it's good. Everyone says it's good. Yeah. And then I can be happy again. And Prelude is in that game. I know they played it on a trailer.
You heard it.
FF13 and all those games, this one tiny little thing that always really
not having the Prelude
hurt
song.
Me. Yeah. It like it made me irrationally upset that Prelude was not the title track for these games, or even the B-roll.
Mm-hmm.
And now they know. They know. Yeah. Put Prelude.
You watched that comparison Type-Zero trailer?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Of course, okay. Yeah.
Well, like, PSP I watched, like, to a PS4. Lot
of the old PSP one, and it's like, it's an improvement.
It's an improvement.
I keep seeing people saying like they don't want to pay $60 for a handheld port, and it's like,
dude,
this is like A, we never got it, and B, this is like a huge overhaul.
Like, it's like a mainline Final Fantasy now.
Entire lighting changes to certain areas.
Like so much has changed.
Type-Zero, okay, so...
The amount of money poured into this remake project is absurd.
And that's what I want to talk about. You know how everyone's...
I'm not going
to
pay $60 for Captain Rainbow. It's like, shut up, it never came out.
You know how everyone talks about how like games cost so much more nowadays? And Type-Zero cost... this remake probably cost a lot.
Yeah.
But it looks like a nice, high-res, good image quality PS2 game. Like
a bit better than PS2.
A bit better.
Yeah.
But this did not cost as much as The Order to do.
Certainly no. Certainly
this,
not.
Games that look like Type-Zero, that's what I want.
Yes.
I have wanted that
for the range.
A decade now.
Totally.
Just give me perfect frame rate, perfect resolution, throw buckets of anti-aliasing on it. These don't cost don't cost development dollars. You just need to make the game look shitty enough that it runs well.
Also, and give me direct control of summons.
That shit is
fucking cool.
Final Fantasy should be more of this and not more of 15. Like 15 looks great and all that, but you could probably put out more and of a higher quality if you just took the budget down.
Meanwhile, Dissidia Arcade seems
Three versus three fighter.
I'm looking at it, I'm like, this had to be built off of the Gunslinger engine. the fucking the way the characters look it, and the way the particle effects are hitting, no. It looks so similar.
It looks a lot like the other one they announced the other week too, School of Ragnarok.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
That was what it struck me the most as.
I feel like they're taking that like formula, which worked great for them in Japan, made a ton of money with Gunslinger, and are now.
Not sure how I feel about it being a 3v3 thing.
I also do not want that.
I kind of just wish it was 1v1. That said, it looks like a real-ass game now.
Yeah.
I'd imagine if it ever comes out, like, ported to consoles or whatever, there'll be various modes.
I hope so.
Whatever.
I hope this gets ported to consoles. Honestly, I think it will. I think that's likely.
I'd like to think it would, because if it was School of Ragnarok, it's like, whatever.
Well,
Dissidia
did really well in all regions.
But because it's Final Fantasy,
the name Final Fantasy is on it.
Yeah, I mean. And this time, it's deserved. Like, there are Final Fantasy characters all over that fucking thing. When's Tifa getting in that game?
Lightning looks cool in that game.
Yeah?
I mean, fuck.
When's Tifa getting in that game? That was a huge oversight. Who knows?
Yeah. When's Barret getting in that game?
Aerith was in at least.
I'd rather have Barret.
As a fucking assist.
I know.
Well, Lulu.
Yeah, you do.
Or Pain.
Yeah, you, yeah.
Lulu.
I see Wooly's eyes literally spark up.
No, but we were just talking about how, like, you know, we're starting to see the, iOS store like shenanigans coming off and like showing up in 3DS shit and whatnot, and now inversely, Apple introduces the pay once and play category,
the buy to play category.
Wow, what a concept!
And it's and it's weird because it's like I know this is something a lot of devs wanted them to make for a while, so they finally got around to doing it. And what it is it's a section of games that don't have any micro in them.
Mm. Yeah,
it's just
wait. You can make a game without a microtransaction.
Because now, because of the way the App Store usually works, is if you search by price, everybody with zero gets to the top, and people who made real games that cost real money, their shit is buried. You'll never fucking find it.
But they've always divided it between like free and like the others and whatnot. Yeah. But then now the rulings where you can't say free because it's not, because there's micro in it.
Yeah. So and this is step two.
So it just says get.
So are you allowed? Like, is Monument Valley allowed in there because it has a DLC pack? That's like seven more levels or something.
I bet they. I bet there's going to be growing pains.
I don't know.
Like that's what because I think for games like that, it's fair because it's just an expansion.
So
a lot of it is like ports, you know, that are getting put
like Netflix Republic and stuff. Exactly. Yeah.
So I should mention that you mentioned developers have wanted this for a long time, and that's totally accurate. But that's not why they're doing it. Apple is doing this because the FCC is threatening them.
Yes,
FCC for
they, once. They are saying that we are getting so many fucking complaints about parents who are giving their kids these fucking free games and then showing up with $100 charges. You need to make this clear. You need to make it so that when a parent buys a game for Jimmy, they know that this can happen or not. Mm-hmm.
Though my only issue here is that like pay once and play is a weird turn of phrase.
I didn't quite understand what it meant
until I really, and I was like, oh, why don't you just call it games without microtransactions?
Why don't you just call it real ass video games?
Just a button that says real ass video games. I still think buy to play is the best descriptor, and it's the gross.
It upsets me that it has to be a descriptor.
So here's
the point. But it's like, it's too real to say games without microtransactions, but it should be that real.
Buy to play, like, is so hilarious to me, because Liam, you're totally right. It's the most disgusting thing in the world.
We got so far that way that someone had to turn the other way and say, what about those?
Here's the problem with that. The first time I heard this, term used popular
was
Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
Guild Wars 2 specifically in response to other subscription MMOs, and in that context, it was awesome.
In the context of MMOs,
because it was an MMO with no subscription. And that had microtransactions, but it was all cosmetic shit.
But then when it turns into us reading the forums and seeing a guy go, ah, they thought they were going to trick us by making us think it was F2P, but it turns out it was B2P.
When I see the headline, B2P Devil May Cry 5 announced, I will feel upset.
Yeah.
Because they used the word B2P. Even though Devil May Cry 5 got announced, I will be upset.
It needed to be there.
Well, they're going to need to say that to differentiate it from its other 10 F2P games that Capcom is making.
Of course.
They're going to have 10 free-to-play online games, they says.
Wow. Yeah, we talked about far, two of them look good, right?
So, I don't know about Deep Down. Dragon's Dogma looks a lot better than
Deep Down. Deep Down at least has the potential there, for sure.
Maybe.
Like, Breath of Fire 6 doesn't.
So
don't why stop reminding everyone about
that? Hey, I like Breath of Fire a lot.
No, so stop reminding.
Stop telling
about
me about
that.
Breath of Fire 6. And I'm. This is preemptive, but don't talk to me about the Onimusha browser game either.
Yeah,
full LP.
We can't even get it to go.
We're gonna get it to go.
When I eat my fucking lunch, I want to know that it's buy to eat lunch.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that
no installments or hey, do you want some salt on
that?
You
get half a sandwich.
I need to know.
Comes with a little
your energy bar has to be up before you can get the rest.
Did you
buy the condiments, but the bread is free.
Wooly, did you order the sandwich before yesterday?
I ordered it before yesterday.
Okay, good. Then you're going to be able to get the mustard on it.
Nice. Okay.
The mustard, if you didn't, is going to be $15
in 3 months. But if I ordered it a couple weeks ago, I would have gotten ketchup with the mustard.
Okay, seriously,
well. So
like,
different ranges.
I know we're way out of this, but Evolve at this point is bumming me out every day because I want to play it. But now that I didn't pre-order it, it's a fucking ripoff, and I can't. I cannot pop. Like, that monster.
Yeah, you lost a lot of stuff
that,
by not pre-ordering.
That $15 monster pack that they would give, the new monster that would cost $15 if you pre-ordered it. Now, I'm in a situation where that's going to come out in a couple months, and if I buy it now and actually want to buy that, that's 15 extra. Like,
I guess you don't deserve it.
These big, like, pre-order things that are actually have value, they're the worst because they're telling you that if you found out, if you buy the game on day one, you got ripped off.
No,
don't buy it.
Dude, I'm waiting for the sale. Like, at this point, I'm trying to wait for the sale.
Like, the 2 years from now sale?
A year from nowadays.
Well, it depends on how well.
And then the worry becomes like, is anyone playing it?
Yeah. Whatever.
These kind of like I wouldn't
bumps
would,
me
would,
out.
Would you say that Evolve is a AAA giant release?
I would say it's a triple A release. I wouldn't say it's giant, but yeah,
okay,
sure.
Because like Dying Light sold the most last month.
It did
right?
quite well.
Yeah, sure.
It was at the top of the charts. But that's not a AAA to me. I was kind of like high B.
I'd say that's sort of Techland's first AAA.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's like when the calendar doesn't have much going on, like January
yeah,
wasn't much
that's,
going
that's
on,
a.
these
that's
games can,
a.
as long as you push it just a little bit,
yeah,
and Warner Brothers can, these things
can.
Get out in front. But I mean, February like has The Order and some other stuff that's kind of big. So
and then March has fucking Bloodborne
and Type-0. Some sort of blood game.
Are those coming out on the same day?
March 18th is Type-0, I think, and that's the same day as DMC HD, but I don't know about Bloodborne.
Bloodborne's like the
23rd.
Yeah.
Okay, so no, they're not.
I will say that internally, every company thinks their game is a AAA. Like,
not every.
Well, because the pitch paper... projects that are not have been called that by their fucking studio.
If you say...
Well, because when you go into the first meeting... Nobody says it, but it's an entendu that it's going to be a AAA game.
Yeah,
they don't go in there with the plans to make a B game, you know what I mean? So it comes out however it comes out.
Activision will come out and say, this is a C game and you guys are making... Like, Deadpool was described by Activision producers as, this is a C game and you guys are making a C game for us and we're going to push it like a C game. And High Moon just had to go, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's awkward.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Hey, so Capcom's making an Attack on Titan game.
What?
Woo. And let's move on to the next story, because
that's all there is.
That's
all we know.
Yeah.
I hope
hey, we're making it!
I hope it's better than Spike Chunsoft's, and...
It's probably going to be a 3v3
It's not going to be as good as that goddamn Unity game.
How hype would it be if, like, there's, like... I know Captivate doesn't exist anymore, but if there was one, and they just play the... They have to play the music, you see the logo, and then fucking Feng Li, the guy who made the game, just comes out on stage, like, yo!
I'm making it, bitches!
Like, it's basically Street Fighter versus Mega Man or whatever.
Yeah,
like, it's a fan... They took
how
hype
would it be
thing.
If we still had arcades here?
And that an arcade would take Attack on Titan because the arcade arcade operator in Montreal. Do you think he knows what the fuck Attack
Man,
on
fuck
Titan
that
is?
Guy.
I see a picture of a cabinet that has 3D maneuver gear on it, and I'm not even seeing what's on the screen. I just see that.
Yeah, no,
so I'm gonna lose my shit.
No, it's the training one that they train with.
The circle.
The circle with the ropes, and you have to put yourself in it.
Please adjust the dick hole.
Here's how you do it, okay? You get the fucking cab, you put it as close to the door as possible, and you crank the music as high as it'll go so that it's just blasting out the season one theme out onto the street.
You know, the cabinet is like a giant TV screen or whatever, but it's inside of a brick wall, and over it is like a dumb movie, like fire-breathing Titan that's just like... And it constantly makes noise. It should be a mini putt course.
Capcom, these ideas are free. Just spitballing.
Take it, Capcom of America.
Everything he spit is gold.
You know it's not gold?
What?
The new Hitman trailer.
There's a new hit. Oh, wait, the movie.
The movie.
The movie.
Yeah, no, but...
No shit.
You say it's not gold, but compared to what? The other great video game movies? The other Hitman movie?
With Timothy Oliphant?
Oliphant.
Mr. Babyface Hitman?
Yep.
Now to be fair, Zachary Quinto is 47's foil in this.
Yeah, well,
so that's cool.
You should go back to slapping kids.
I'm not really sure what that reference is.
Dude, it looks like
I'll
the same
explain
movie.
It to you later.
He looks really stealthy. I love the way that 47 does gigantic gun katas
shoot
and jumps
in the
runs
middle of Manhattan at high noon.
To be fair, there's one scene where he puts on a cop's uniform and walks away calmly, but that was like...
That's probably only in the trailer.
5% of the trailer, yeah.
That's probably...
just shot for the trailer.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the cloud on the bike versus the thing shot from Advent Children. It's just a trailer shot.
And what's the name of this movie? It's actually Hitman Agent 47.
Okay. Like... It's a Hitman movie, right? What's the greatest Hitman movie of all time?
Leon the Professional.
Just fucking make that with Agent 47. It's the simplest thing in the goddamn world.
You know what? Leon Professional, like the story and with like a little girl in tow, that's a lot like Hitman Absolution.
Absolution is like that. Yeah.
Just
but then there's a shitty bullshit random fucking
like,
sci-fi thing involved.
If you're gonna make a series like...
But
had
the sci-fi stuff
like,
since the beginning.
Always did.
Yeah.
Always did. You're right.
What movie does Uncharted take from?
Indiana Jones.
Right. So if they were to make an Uncharted movie,
so dumb.
What movie should it be like?
Yeah.
The Last of Us.
Like, if there's a Last of Us movie, it should be like
there is.
The Road. Right?
Oh,
like,
God. Oh, God. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
It can't top The Road.
God, like this fucking thing of like, where does the inspiration for this concept come from? A, okay, let's do F then for the movie.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, hey, Liam,
hey,
3D Classics, Streets of Rage 2. Got anything on that?
That's awesome.
Cool.
I'm glad they're doing it because I know a lot of people prefer Streets 2. Like a lot of people, I think it's... kind of accepted
the vast majority
the best in most people's eyes,
yeah.
So you know, I'm glad they're doing it, and I can't wait to see
hey,
more.
You know that fan project
they're all great
that
so.
Fan project still exists if you look hard enough.
Yeah, the Bomber Games one, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can still get it. It's great.
You just gotta dig a little deeper than normal.
Totally. No, I'm excited.
I was gonna say, do you have that recent since we're talking about movies, there's actually a bit of progress on the Assassin's Creed movie I saw just
this week. Yeah, just a new actor listed, right?
Maul in Inception, she was added as the main woman protagonist somehow. And the Assassin's Creed movie was directed by a guy that directed a Macbeth adaptation that's
sure.
not out yet.
Yeah, okay.
But it stars Macbeth adaptation stars Michael Fassbender and this woman, the actress. So they're making the same actor, the same actress, and the same director. Made a movie together, Macbeth, that's not out yet, and they're all making Assassin's Creed together as well.
So let's take a look at this Macbeth movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You take a look at that Macbeth movie. Also, it's in the past, so you kind of see that
Liam, you had a eureka moment just one moment ago.
Yeah, I just remembered in the first Streets of Rage 3D remake, the bonus feature, because all of them have kind of a little bonus feature, was the one punch mode, and it's the lamest thing in the world. Where all it is you kill every enemy in one hit.
Oh, wow.
But do you get killed in one hit?
No. That's you kill every enemy in one hit.
Oh.
I didn't even finish...
So it's...
You thought it was going to be heaven or hell.
I don't know if it works on heaven or heaven. Yeah. I don't know if it works on the bosses, because I couldn't stomach playing through the entire
first level that way.
I really hope for this they don't do the same thing, because it is so dumb.
Well, should they add, like, one-hit kills for yourself as well? Would that balance out?
I would rather something better.
Sure, but,
you know.
Heaven or hell's
if
fine.
If they had to, I guess hell
heaven
or
heaven, that's dumb.
Also,
exactly.
Did you guys, speaking of movie stuff, did
I guess
you guys
I would prefer
intentionally
that.
Not put the Spider-Man shit on the docket, or what? Or did it just pass? Because I found out after the podcast...
What are we going to say?
Spider-Man's going to be in Civil War.
No, it's the most awesome thing ever.
I really hope it's Miles Morales.
It's not going to be Miles Morales.
I really hope it's Miles Morales.
Miles Morales' whole thing is he loves Spider-Man and wants to become Spider-Man.
Yeah, might be gay.
You change it.
You can't have...
Plus, Plus, this has to be Civil War Spider-Man. It can't be Miles Morales. It has to be
Peter Parker.
That's what he's, you know.
I really hope it's Miles Morales.
That well, you can think yo, that Toby's all you
coming
like.
Back. Toby's coming
Black
back.
Black Spider-Man, Liam, you should so, be on my side.
So,
no, I want Black Spider-Man.
Right.
Not Miles Black, Morales.
Black Spider-Man.
I want Black Spider-Man.
He means Black Suit
no, Black Spider-Man.
No, I mean Black Spider-Man.
Okay. Yeah, Black Spider-Man. Let's go.
The problem with this news, the only actual negative thing, is a lot of other movies got bumped
oh,
away.
Yeah, they got
like Black also, Panther is yeah, getting yeah, bumped they way away, which I'm kind of disappointed
But no, but as for the involvement with Civil War thing, it's totally rewritable. Like, it's not like that can be a
yeah, memory. But they're not going
to
do it.
No, but the point is that the main, his involvement that everyone says he needs to be there, it's like, quote-unquote, spoiler alert if you don't know about it,
no,
he unmasks.
No,
that's the only thing that needs to be
there. None of the other characters in the Marvel movie universe have secret identities. So the Civil War thing has to be about something different.
But this being Spider-Man's first appearance in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, he has to have... Like, he can't be a brand new hero, you know what I mean? Like, he has to have an established mythos. Well, and that's why I hope that they're not going to do the origin story, because fuck your Spider-Man new movie if it's the origin story again.
Yeah, we all know.
Hey, I'm waving my hand here.
Yes.
Marvel has come out and explicitly said... That
is not
everyone knows Spider-Man's origin story.
Yes.
And that we are not going to do another origin story. We're going to join Spider-Man after he's been Spider-Man for a little while.
Which is...
And because they're right. You can't do three fucking reboots in like 15 years.
Here's what you do. Here's what you do. You film a trailer that's the origin story. That's not in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's not in the fucking movie. And if you need to know, that's where it is.
Let's all not forget, Batman, the original Batman movie, was not an origin story.
No. Nope.
He was already Batman. And there's a quick little 2-minute recap
of
the pearls falling down.
Yep.
And that's all you needed to do.
Yeah, so we'll just get a 5-minute recap of like, oh, my uncle.
Just shoot a new trailer. That's it.
Yep.
Fuck
bam.
It.
That's the best.
Or you change the origin completely. You have the really cool, like, let's say you just fucking.
What if it's
The Spider-Man Noir origin is the best one. Where I'm going to go into a creepy carnival and there's a voodoo lady and I get bit by a spider and I get magic voodoo spider powers and now I'm Spider-Man.
So what if
fucking
what
awesome?
What if it's not
Betty
Miles?
White has been cast in the role as Madame Web?
Dude, what if instead of Peter Parker or Miles Morales, it's Ben Reilly.
Oh, yeah!
or it's Gwen Stacy. That'd
I'll
be
stand
awesome.
Behind that and hate myself, but I'll stand behind
that. Remember, Ben Reilly's the real Spider-Man.
He is.
Okay, you guys need to explain that
to
me afterwards, because I don't understand.
I'm not
Peter
at a
Parker
point in my
is the
life.
Clone.
I'm not at a point in my life where I'm ever going to explain the Clone Saga to anybody.
No, here's the problem. I've had the Clone Saga explained to me twice. I still can't
get it. It's the worst thing that's ever happened.
I'm pretty sure there's a great explanatory YouTube video you can go check out.
I bet there is. Maybe a comic book.
Kind of like the Death of Superman
video. Yeah.
Max Landis probably makes something.
Probably something.
See how Max Landis blew this news out like 8 months ago and then was like, whoops, I fucked up and shouldn't have said that?
Well, also, it was in that Sony email leak, too.
Yeah,
it was there, too.
Poor Garfield.
Also something I
I'm disappointed that he's not in there still, because I never had a problem with him.
I think he's fine, but I think it's kind of hilarious, and in kind of a mean way, that all the deals are like, okay, this deal can go through, but one thing, Garfield, gone.
I had the Leguizamo effect with Garfield.
So I'm happy
he's gone.
Leguizamo, that guy that I hate?
I like the idea that Andrew Garfield is super happy with this deal, kicking him the fuck out.
You know what? If you don't like being in your superhero role, I don't really want you.
He can probably spend
superhero.
More time being lazy and eating lasagna.
Sure.
And flicking his hair and falling into that hardware store where there's no fucking floor.
Yeah, exactly. okay, so I wanted to mention something, because we've spent the last couple episodes always like bringing up a Kickstarter, and I just wanted to kind of say, like, we kind of, when I do the kick roundup.
Kick watcher.
It's like, we're not, like, you don't have to go back everything we're talking about, because usually there's a couple of cool projects that pop up from time to time. We don't know when they're going to pop up, but it's more of just a, hey, check this out type of thing.
Yeah, you make your own decision.
We like it.
Just want to re-emphasize that, because it's almost...
Of course.
I don't want the whole, like, oh, you guys are just shilling a new Kickstarter every week thing. What's going on?
No, you
even
just
though the concept of Kickstarter is literally the least shilling thing ever, because we don't get anything.
Like, again, you're not selling out, you're buying in.
Yes,
it's the opposite.
Usually the case is one of us backed it, and are like, well, it exists. Mm-hmm. And that's as far as the recommendation goes. We'll say, I think this looks cool. That's why I backed it.
Yeah, because I want it to exist.
Like I mentioned Shadowrun like a couple weeks ago, which now just blew past $1 million. They're out of fucking stretch goals.
Congrats. That's cool.
But I'm not saying go back Shadowrun. I'm saying maybe you should look at it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I backed Children of Morta. I think that looks really cool.
Which what's means that if it goes bad on you, don't come to me and be like, why'd you tell me to do it? I didn't tell you to do it.
What is Children of Morta?
Isn't it a roguelike where you play as a family of like a roguelike. Magic people.
Exactly. You play as a family and you all gotta survive and you gotta make it through this giant creepy house of creepy shit.
Yeah, good.
And
it's coming to Vita now.
Yeah.
Because you did this.
Did it? Yay!
Congrats, Wooly.
I made it stretch. Yeah, it looks cool.
Does look cool.
In a couple days, they're gonna launch a Kickstarter for The Lost Pisces. Which is a little...
Is that about fish?
A Little Mermaid, futuristic.
Yeah, that one looks really cool.
That was the graphics. What? The visuals just look great in that
doesn't
one.
Doesn't even look like a Kickstarter.
It's about Ariel's quest for penis.
In space with lasers and robots.
Robo penis, hey.
You know what it's kind of like? It's kind of like...
combat engines.
It's kind of like better, like a better example of it. But you know how Silicon Knights fucked up the concept of space Vikings?
Yeah.
And taking that... idea and put it in a sci-fi futurist. This is like taking the Little Mermaid idea and putting it in space.
Man, cyborgs. They really fucked up space Vikings.
Yeah.
And it's like unfuck-up-able.
Two human like salted the earth for like a straight decade
on
that.
Yeah, can't build anything on that ground.
Hey, this game looks like Two Human. Scrap it. Fucking scrap it.
This is like Advent Rising. Scrap it.
There's another project as well that I took a look at that seems like it might be a thing, but I'm an idiot because I forgot until
the
right now.
3?
Let's describe it to each other.
Okay, maybe you might know. It's the one that has Jonan Vasquez-like art. It's very dark and creepy. It's you're a girl in like a school, and it's British, and there's like old gods and Cthulhu references all over the place.
Who's Jonan Vasquez?
Oh, something, something school for girls.
Criminal Girls too.
No.
Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, Invader Zim.
Okay.
Not familiar with this Kickstarter.
I'll be able to find this Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Creepy Girls.
Creepy, yeah. And it had huge, huge eyeballs, art style.
Do you think it's worth backing?
I don't know.
Check it out.
Might be cool.
It's a deck building game called the Miskatonic School for Girls.
There you go.
Yeah, Miskatonic.
Might be interesting.
Miskatonic.
I don't know. I saw it and thought the art was cool, but I didn't look into it past that.
Yeah, the art is cool. That's pretty much the biggest thing it's got there. Yeah. Let's take some letters.
Absolutely. No, just really quickly. Really, while we're still kind of on Kickstarter, though. Strafe has, like, maybe, at the time of this recording, has maybe 24 hours left.
So remember, we're not telling you to go back things.
Go check it. But if you want to check it out, though, because they have a playable build open to anybody.
Oh, they do now.
Yeah, okay, cool. I posted about it the other day. So if you're on the fence about Strafe and you want to check it out before you might,
you know what,
put some money towards it.
You know what our Kickstarter...
Because they're still a ways away from their goal, unfortunately.
You know what this Kickstarter stance thing reminds me of? I have a friend of mine who a year ago I asked for legal advice, right? Because he's in law school, right? Say, hey, man, and he gives me some legal advice. And at the end of every sentence, he tells me, I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
I have to tell you that I am not a lawyer and that this is not legal advice. I'm just explaining to you how it works. Do you understand? I go, yes. Okay? It's like that for Kickstarter.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a thing, but I'm not telling you to go give it money.
Right.
I was just going to say the last one is Steel Assault, which we talked about a few weeks
ago. How is that name not taken yet?
I don't know, but...
I don't believe it's not taken.
Like, how did it come this far?
I think they just bulldogged their way into the name.
Yeah. Steel Assault, and it has about 3 days left, and I think we talked about it before. It's like an NES hardcore, old-school, side-scrolling action game, much like Alien Soldier, and it's got a very, very modest goal. It's got like $8,000, that's all it needs, but it's still struggling to kind of make it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a concept like that gets lost in the fucking shuffle.
It did.
Yeah.
Because you need to search for that one.
No, definitely.
It's not going to get advertised a whole
bunch. No, but it's also just kind of like, one team, one guy, two first projects.
You know, yeah. Let me ask you, of games that you guys have kickstarted, how many have come out?
Shovel Knight, Cloudberry Kingdom, FTL.
Not counting early access.
Not counting early access and shit like that. Yeah. No, straight up Kickstarter.
Volgar the Viking, I chipped in.
You helped kickstart FTL, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Part of Broken Age and the rest of it's coming out a bit.
Skullgirls.
I know there's more, well, but
because me, I jumped on the bandwagon with all the big RPGs when they started doing it, and I've gotten two of them, and they're pretty good so far. But how's your average so far?
Low end. Yeah, but most of the stuff is in the work. So. Yeah,
that's not what I mean. I mean the average of the quality upon release.
Oh,
because so far for me, it's been. Thumbs Aces. Up, A plus all around.
Me too. It's just really Volgar and Shovel Knight.
Dara, right. I almost think that the stuff that's not going to be Aces probably just might turn into vaporware. You know, likely will be how it turns out.
Mm. Just interesting because eventually one of us is going to back something and it's going to just fuck the dog on it.
There's some stuff.
If you keep doing it, it's gonna happen.
You know, there's some stuff where Matt, you're looking at your watch, I'm sure.
Like what?
Well, let's not throw somebody under the
Trying not to throw dudes under the bus.
Because I'm not aware of any.
Okay. We'll talk about it afterwards.
There's another Kickstarter that I'd like to talk about because I think at least three of us think it's a really cool game.
The Auto Blow 3?
It's for a game called Strength of the Sword Ultimate.
Well, that's a good name.
That game's fucking awesome.
What is it?
It is somewhere between 3D fighter and beat 'em up.
Okay.
You control your character from a third person perspective, and you're always locked on to an enemy, and you can switch lock on to other enemies. It's really poke based, and it's not like combos and juggles and stuff. It's just a super dynamic, fun, fast action game. Our video goes up
and
in 3 minutes.
If you'd like to know more, tune into the channel.
3 minutes from now, yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the game already came out on PS3,
but the
Kickstarter is for the ultimate version of it.
Goofy bastard.
With an extremely modest goal.
Yeah.
They already passed it. It's doing well.
Yeah, it's doing very well. I'd like for it to eventually hit the PS4 goal and stuff in the future. Yeah. I want them to be successful, because they made a Kickstarter game. Yeah.
Plus, it is one of the most charming Kickstarter pages ever.
Yeah.
There's so many fun doodles of like the two creators talking about the stretch goals and things.
It's fun to read.
Really just fun to read.
What is the most damaging game that could fuck up right now? Is it Mighty Number 9?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that. Because if Mighty Number 9 turns out to be a rock, like, pile of shit, then, like, the whole fucking faith in the system is done.
There's gonna be... Now, make no mistake, there's gonna be some shit disturbers that will, no matter what it turns out to be, are gonna, like...
This wasn't worth it!
Right. But...
I just mean abject failure.
For example, the people that didn't get the whole 2D, 3D thing. But that's the biggest one right now that would fucking
like that would
capsize
kill
the boat.
Me inside.
Capsize the boat. KG really would die.
Yeah.
He would fade away for real.
I think if Project Eternity were terrible, which it isn't going to be.
I think the likelihood of that is
very low.
Is on the edge of nil.
If
Eternity came out and was terrible, that would actually probably be the worst one, because I think that's the highest amount of money for all of the popular ones.
Broken Age naturally was another candidate, but it pulled out and it did it.
But it's like Mighty Number 9 overlaps with like every gamer. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
definitely.
It's more than Project Eternity.
That would be the money. That's
the financial.
Where it was, it hit like with PayPal. I think it got over.
Mighty
Number
9 is just the amount of people.
Yeah.
All right. Letter time.
Hey, guys. Hey, people at home or wherever you happen to be listening to this, or coworkers,
get on with
who happen to overhear this from Jimmy's workstation.
Mm-hmm. Creepy dude on the bus that's listening.
Something over your speakers.
You know, I don't know how.
I expect.
I don't know how
our
offices are. I've never worked in an office.
Clearly,
but yeah, I know, right? This is my office, huh? It's your house. Where would you send your questions, letters, or, you know, telling us to shut up and stop the podcast? Where would you send that? Matt?
I believe it's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
It's true. He's right. It is superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Alrighty.
Do send it over. Do
is it that us. Easy?
It's that easy to send things to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
We're going
to
open up with a special Plague Asks.
Oh, hey, it's been man. A while. What's going on? Wow, okay. Hey.
Yeah, he's still putting up the fence.
He got really mad at me after last week.
That's why he's making that fence.
Yeah, Plague Asks, it's a way more generalized one this time, and I think it's almost out of frustration than it is out of curiosity.
Oh, yeah.
But Plague is just like, yo, like, what is the best kind of protagonist you can have? And like he mentioned like personality, physical design, etc. And I'm like, okay, well,
that's broad.
Like, I'm like, we're not gonna design your character for you, Plague. But no. There are a lot of things that suck when they are. In place because yeah. I have things that I like. This would be a cool thing for a character, and I don't want to spoil that.
Yeah,
but there are things that suck when characters have them.
Number one, the thing that bothers me the most about any protagonist is they need to have a certain level of competency. Having a dumb main character, just actually stupid, a character that you are looking at their actions in a game that you cannot control, and you are going, stop that! You're so stupid! This is the worst thing you
can... You are allowed... Exactly, and to elaborate on that, you are allowed to have characters that don't understand the setting or world they're in and need...
But if they're actually context, idiotic.
But if they can't figure it out once, you know what I mean, pieces are being put together... Then fuck, that is the worst, that's garbage.
The line on that is Raiden in MGS2, in which he is clueless about what's going on.
Yeah.
But he does display a level of competency at sneaking and fighting and figuring it out once it's explained to him. Any dumber than Raiden is unacceptable.
Datebayo.
Yeah, there you go.
Shut
up, fuck you.
I think one of the most important things about a character is they should surprise you. And if a character isn't succeeding at surprising you, then I don't think that they're a successful character.
You mean you're not a big fan of rigid archetypes?
It's the kind of thing like Wonder Red, where I really liked Wonder Red a lot, and then when the reveal with his story came around and it surprised me, I was like, he's way better than I expected.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one. We talked about that recently.
Being able to build your character up in a way that actually surprises the user or viewer or whatever, I think is the most one of the most important things.
Well, surprise like in a KOTOR. Positive way, though, because there's like negative surprises where you're like, why is my character suddenly doing this?
Evidently I mean a positive surprise, but well, I think surprises are the cornerstone of making something good.
The active word that for me that applies to just it covers so much ground is they should be convincing. They should be convincing people, and a lot of that means a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
One thing would be it shouldn't be a template for like your inserted answers. I'd much prefer if your protagonist was a person on their own.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Ellipsis main character, RPG main character style thing. Like we can do better than that these days.
You're talking about the Japanese version of that character because the Western RPG version of that is literally you can choose one of the 11 answers in front of you.
Yes.
And then that's like a pure self-insert.
It is. But I like when a main character is not a self-insert, but a person.
Yeah, so the best example of that with that problem also is that Persona 4, Yu Narukami, they've decided, Atlas has decided that the canon Yu Narukami
is
the third answer.
Yeah.
The one where he says all the fucking weird, goofy shit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that character. I love the... Answer number three, Narukami. But the others,
in most cases, not what you're going to get. Convincing also, of course, means like you're not one dimensional, you're not two dimensional. Like you actually have facets, exactly, and you have things that would be surprising.
Yeah,
because if someone's faced with a decision and you just go, "Oh, what archetype is this character? They fall into this type of thing, therefore they'd go this way." That's not how people work, right? And
I think Dragon Age Inquisition's Iron Bull. Is the best character in that game because of that. Like, he's a giant, like, highly religious spy.
Yeah.
That he's talking about, like, oh, man, the fucking creepy shit I used to do back at the brothels back home. And he has all these fucking goofy stories. And you're like, wait, you're a religious zealot spy of a fascist dictatorship? What?
You know, and we've like, I feel like we often covered a few examples of, like, the best villains are the ones where, like, you see exactly where they're coming from.
And you disagree.
They're not just evil for evil's sake.
You disagree, but you see it.
But you see why they do what they do and where, you know, and like, it should be the same thing with your protagonist. You should be able to understand why they see things the way they do and why their actions go the way they go and not just because they're good and doing the right thing, yay.
Yeah, you know? That's... The Mary Sue. Kill all Mary Sues.
Kind of what Willie was going to say, I just think kind of the main broad thing is that your protagonist needs to change or yes! learn something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, a good... A
Unless
good,
that's the point.
Well, yeah. But, what I mean is that, like, I'm taking an example of, let's say, Luke from Tales of the Abyss, who is one of the shittiest, crappiest, like, protagonists that you hate controlling.
Mm-hmm.
But for a reason... And then something happens, and he becomes a different character, and it makes sense, and then, you know, whatever. It's like, okay, no, I respect this character now. Versus someone like Kratos, who never learns anything.
Yeah.
And is always a shitbag,
But at the same time, Marv from Sin City never learns anything.
But that's the point.
Yeah. So Matt's point is a good counterpoint to mine, where it's like, you have to have competency. Actually, they can be a dumb character if... At some point, preferably early, they get their shit ruined.
Yes.
And the world is shown to them, and they realize, oh man, I'm dumb.
These are really like game sort of descriptions.
I tend to play a lot of video games.
Yeah, I mean, like...
I don't write books. Not like Plague.
There you go, Plague. Good luck. God bless. Godspeed.
Why does he ask these
things? Do they have a god in Tennessee?
Oh, they got plenty of god.
The Yellow King.
The Yellow King. Oh, I heard of him.
Isn't that Louisiana?
Louisiana.
It's a 12-gauge.
Hey, you really want to drive Plague crazy? No, I'm not going to finish that sentence because he will kill me.
Plague worships a guy that's wandering around with a gas mask and in boxers. In the forest. Yeah.
You mean the mirror?
Yeah. And a machete. No, what was he holding? Machete?
Not boxers. Briefs.
Yeah, briefs.
Dirty briefs.
That's true.
A gas mask and a fucking machete.
Yeah, that's who he worships. Uncle Ted.
The first glimpse in True Detective of the fucking thing. Anyway.
And the flip to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a quick one in from Julian, and he... says, have a nice day.
How's your rum and coke, man? Julian, how is it?
Okay.
A lot of ways to go with that, but all right.
Try the Park Boys.
We'll take that one. That's
fine. I don't know, Julian.
Those are some perfectly good chicken fingers, Ricky.
Say, there you go.
Damn lion smoked all our pot. Yeah.
Oh, I gotta finish that fucking new season.
Bubbles, this is the Bible. Can you read, son?
Well, I don't know. It depends.
Is it lying?
Can you go fuck yourself?
Bubbles is the best! Ricky's the best. No, Julian's the best.
Was it a cheetah? I can't remember. Some jungle cat smoked all their pot.
That shot. What is Delaney's partner's name? Never wears a shirt.
Mr. Leahy's partner, Mr. Leahy. Randy.
Yeah, yeah.
Randy. He's on the bus and like just the woman's face just smacks
into his belly.
All right, Julian wants to know. Just basically on average, how many emails do you guys get per week?
That's a good question. I used to look.
What a meta question.
And it was way too much.
Yeah. So I did a little count, and this week we got 200.
Oh, that's
on the nose? Wow.
Big give or take.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's about that much.
So that's why we didn't read your email.
Oliver gives a reminder that Zubaz is going to be in VGCW.
Yes, he
today.
Is.
At 6 p.m. Tuesday, 6 p.m. Tune into.
Did you see his fucking promo with Kefka?
I didn't, but his card. His card is going to be a 6-man free for all with Dante, Toad, Sabin, Figaro.
Figaro.
Travis Touchdown and Johnny Cage.
That's a good fucking stable. His fucking promo where Kefka's interviewing him and Kefka's just like, hey, what game are you from? And he's like.
Johnny Cage is fucking
And then Raijin and fucking Cypher and Fujin from FF8 come over and like fucking kick him out of the building because he's not supposed to be there.
I thought you meant MK4 Fujin.
Nope.
The other Lightning
Baza
guy.
Is doing some good, he is doing good by Zubaz.
Oh yeah, that's good shit. Baz McMahon shout outs. How appropriate. SF wants to know, can you guys do a Japanese Rocky Balboa impression?
No.
What?
No. Is there any way to come out of this without it being a hate crime?
Against at least two different groups.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Adrian Namoru!
Adrian
Namoru! Doshio!
Oh, this is bad.
All right. He punches Apollo Creed and Ivan Drago, and he barely moves.
Sugoi!
Yeah. That's as best as I can do.
That was like a giggle, man.
A giggle. That was the right sound.
Foo, 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 foo. Is next.
Nani?
Hey, Liam, you would know. What the fuck is foo, foo, foo supposed to actually sound like? Okay, it's Japan.
Just,
get out of here.
It's just the dumb laugh sound effect.
Yeah.
That Karen does.
The best.
That could be so what Canadian shows, cartoons, whatever, did you guys not like? Because you always talk about the ones you like, says Devon.
That's too hard. There's too many.
Matt, read my mind, please.
Terrible South
what
Park
Canadian
football?
Show?
Read my
John Callahan's Quads.
Fuck Quads.
Fuck Quads.
Was bad.
What a
That's
shitty
That's a
piece
terrible
of shit show.
I didn't even watch enough of Canadian TV for there, me to even answer this question.
Martin Mystery. Just Google it.
That's French. That's France.
It's Canadian. It's Canadian.
It's France, though. It's made in France.
Then it's probably, it might be both.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's Canadian, though.
Yeah, it's by right. Cinar.
Pretty sure it's Canadian.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's okay. It's
I'm
animated.
Not sure. I'm not
sure.
I'm not sure.
Is Fraggle Rock Canadian?
No.
Okay. Fraggle Rock is British shit.
Okay.
The Raccoons is Canadian, but that show's awesome.
That's awesome.
Chili Beach is awful.
I know Chili Beach. That shit is terrible.
Can't I instead Anaconda? Is that Canadian?
You know what? Let's say it is. That show
can
sucks.
Can I instead Angela talk about
Anaconda?
How much I like
Angry
Beavers?
Oh, Angela Anaconda.
Everyone likes Angry Beavers.
Everybody likes Angry Beavers.
That's default. We don't have to go there.
Is Dragon Riders or whatever from here?
Spider Riders?
No.
Oh my god!
Dragoon Booster?
I need to find this video of... You remember Dragon Riders and Sky Dancers?
Yeah, I remember Sky Dancers. How could I forget?
You know,
one that just goes?
Hold on. They took that shit off the market at some point and didn't say nothing. You know why they took that shit off the market? The fucking American whatever organization it is that handles toy safety got hundreds of complaints about damaged scratched eyeballs, broken teeth, and fractured ribs.
Whoa.
As a result of the Sky Dancers and Dragon Riders. But recently, as of like last week, there is some dude in China or fucking wherever who gives his 5-year-old
daughter.
This
was a few months ago.
Gives her
a Chinese
Sky Dancer, and it goes, and it just goes until the sky, until it's gone from sight, and just goes forever.
And then the girl simply asks, why?
That's the only word she says.
Okay, I was thinking of a different thing.
If I troll through my YouTube history, I could find the fucking clip.
There's
for
another
you.
Video where like a girl starts up her toy and it's like a I think it's like a dancing Barbie.
It goes straight
into the
fireplace.
Into the fireplace.
And she just gets it. And then there's a lot of meme pictures where someone puts dialogue for the toy and just goes, fuck this shit. I'm out. Yeah.
Oh man.
Joan wants a Business Bug t-shirt. I don't know if we could push that, Joan. Business Bug was good, though. Never forget.
I don't like Kailu. Caillou.
Yeah, Caillou sucked.
He's creepy.
Didn't like it.
Oh, Caillou. Caillou. Yeah. Me,
that was like a child's show, though. That was for, like,
that was way
children.
Well,
here's
the deal, Liam. We were children when
it was
on.
Shit.
It's been on forever, then.
Yeah. Even I knew as a kid it was shit.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Cybersex was awful.
So fuck you.
I just wanted to get you a ride.
It was also French.
I was going to say the other shows, like Captain Redbeard and the Albert the Fifth Musketeer.
Yeah, that's an old
Yvonne
one.
Yvonne of the Yukon.
David the Gnome. Fuck David the Gnome. Fuck that weird fucking shit. He dies in the last episode and super fucked
up. Spoilers, ass.
It's really weird.
He
dies in the last episode.
He just fucking dies.
Someone lost their shit, Matt, when you brought up what's his name, Danny Tutu or whatever.
Jacob Tutu fucking kicks ass. What a fucking big dick hero.
And it's never gonna get any props from us in any other context.
He beat up that fucking Prime Minister of Canada one time, and he rode that dragon.
Yeah,
shit was awesome.
It's never gonna get any props anywhere else.
No, the show.
So I was just gonna say that Sharky A. George. Sharky A.
George.
Yeah. I used to have two fish named Sharky and George.
Nice.
No, Sharky A. George.
Yeah, but I had two fish named Sharky and George.
We got one from Jason. Yeah. And Jason wants to know, what is an amazing opening for a crap anime?
Oh, Liam!
Okay, so Liam and I have had this discussion at work, just sending YouTube videos back and forth.
And
I actually remember saving a fucking list from when we talked.
Because now I'm like grasping, and I'm like,
we won't talk until you get that list, because a lot of them could be like, we all think
a lot of them could overlap.
The thing is, like, it's less stuff that's like
second,
this was shit.
That second Naruto intro's pretty good.
Oh, Haruka Kaneta? God damn, it's great. I got into Asian Kung Fu Generation because of that song.
You fucking weep. Look at this.
There's less like anime that's shit with like a great intro, but more anime where the intro's way better than the show.
Yeah.
I
agree with that.
Zammed is one of those things.
Zammed. My God.
Boogie Pop Phantom. Hacksign.
Hacksign. Seesaw.
Right?
Oh my, that one's the worst one.
Sora Nostelvia.
I like Hacksign too. Damn it.
Like, their intros were way better than the show.
I always say it wrong, but the intro to Tenjo Tenge,
Bombahead.
Like, yeah. the show isn't the worst show ever, but like the intro is great. Everyone loves the dancing shit in any.
How could you not eat the lunch she made for you?
Wolf's Rain.
Wolf's Rain's ending is the best. Wolf's Rain's credit sequence is better even than the show.
Yeah, sure, certainly.
But you're right.
But Wolf's Rain's intro, fucking Steve Conte, Yoko Kanno, oh my god.
Cowboy Bebop.
Can I just name drop a terrible intro that you were teasing me with? The fucking second Death Note opening is the worst.
You were saying, like, you're the second intro yet?
It's so bad.
It's just death metal, I admit. It's whatever.
But it's so appropriate for
it
the show.
Matches.
Yeah, but the first intro's so good.
The first one is better.
But you have to expect that there would be a shitty death metal intro at some point.
I don't
expect
that ever.
Because it's called Death
I would not expect that on my worst enemies.
No, but you should, though.
GTO, Porno Graffiti, Driver's High.
Yeah,
that fucking intro is so good.
Yeah,
but GTO is a great show.
I made a joke to Cowboy Bebop earlier, and I was waiting for somebody to catch me on it.
No, Tank.
No, but Cowboy Bebop's bad. That's the fuck.
Oh, Gantz.
Gantz. The Gantz anime.
The Gantz anime.
Yeah, okay. Apparently not very good.
Rip Slime. Amazing intro. Terrible show. We can go on, but we're moving. Hey, Silas wants to know what...
Silas.
I love that name.
A good licensed soundtrack for a game?
Oh, Brutal Legend.
Oh, that's not even fucking fair.
Done.
Moving on. Saints Row the Third.
Crazy Taxi.
Mirror's Edge.
Crazy Taxi. First... Three Tony Hawk.
Mirror's Edge has a such an astounding soundtrack. Mirror's Edge's soundtrack is amazing.
But when you look at the aesthetic, yes, it should.
EA.
50 Cent, Blood on the Sand.
Oh, that's true.
He's not even wrong.
I'm not.
Yeah, no.
I played it too, man.
Who else is going to rap?
Def Jam, anything that has that Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Miny, Mo song in it.
No.
Well, you got to know the name of the song, though.
Oh, fuck. No. It's coming out of the grave at Nat or some shit.
It's not the name of the song.
I think that
covers it.
If Matt sounds different or smarter or older this podcast, it's because he's been wearing his glasses the whole time.
It makes us treat him better.
Real quick.
Can't punch me.
David wants to know what's better.
I'll just punch you in the side of the head.
It'll break the glasses. He's invincible.
No, in his mouth part.
He's unstoppable with them on.
Unstoppable.
In his mouth part.
Yeah.
Real quick, what's better, JRPG with a large cast and varied abilities and classes, or small cast that can do anything?
Small cast.
Large cast, I say.
I think Suikoden 1 and 2 are awesome, but
because if you have
like
a large
personalities
cast.
I like people.
I like the middle, cast. I like the 10 to 13.
Ooh, that's rare. That's rare as shit.
Yeah, like, I don't want like 50, you know, like I like Skies of Arcadia where it's got the super extended cast that don't do a lot, and I like Suikoden where you've got all the party members and yeah. they all can just be
you
swapped
have too
in.
Many characters and run the risk
and then when
of
you
some
have
being underdeveloped
few,
and,
when you have
and not utilized and not
yeah,
but then when you have three like your focus has to be
oh
across.
No
like,
when I hear
really
small
aggressive.
My brain goes to 7 to 10
okay
that to me is the small because
I'm thinking like, okay yeah.
The whatchamacallit Residence of Fate is like the
yeah,
fucking
that's,
smallest
that's absurdly
yeah.
small
that's
too small. That's too small
yeah, and,
yeah
and
exactly
but
for how long the game
but,
is
hey, I hate when there's a certain point that you hit where the your 8 party member cast is narrowed down to 4 because they're the only viable members in combat
yeah,
like when your balance just falls
yeah.
off there. So
my personal preference of the smaller cast versus the larger is exemplified by the fact that I think Chrono Trigger is one of the best games ever.
Sure, yeah.
And that is one of the things that makes me really, really hate Chrono Cross, is I hate that you have 100 useless piles of shit in that game when there's really only 3 characters in that game. There's Lynx, there's 4. There's Lynx, Harl, Kid, and Serge. And that's it.
I think you can do really small casts, though. Like, The World Ends With You is fucking tiny cast. You have one main player
tiny.
Character,
it's,
and then
it's got
three.
A, it's got a fair amount. It's
yeah, but, like, of enemies and extended cast. There's only 4 main characters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
It can work.
I think either one can work. I think I prefer the smaller, like, 10 to 15 kind of feel.
Yeah, I prefer the smaller end of the spectrum, but not too small.
Not too small.
Not too small. Too small is too small.
Yeah, remember, kids.
All right. What do we got coming up on the channel, and what are we watching?
What are we watching?
We're gonna
excited to get my 3DS XL.
I'm excited
so
to
cool.
fix my 3DS XL.
I'm excited to continue playing mine.
The Order comes out this week, so I'm excited to play that.
Yeah. I'm very excited to also play that.
I'm also excited to play Dragon Ball Xenoverse and support our friend Takahata 101.
He goes on Facebook and he says that, and it's a grim reminder that I need to buy that game. And so I go on Amazon, I'm like, I'm going to buy Dragon Ball Xenoverse. When does it come out? Tomorrow! Oh, great!
Yeah, February.
I was really hoping for like
today,
a month
actually.
From
February,
now or something, but...
Yeah, someone pointed
true.
Me towards what I'm probably going to stack up to be the next Best Friends Drift. Distance?
I downloaded
Distance
that this weekend! That thing's insane!
Right? Right?
Holy
that looks
shit.
So cool. So I'm looking forward to Distance.
Okay.
Because that's...
I want to... If that
racing,
becomes a thing, I want to be in on that.
Like, people realized exactly what we want.
Yeah.
The type of racers that we give a shit about and have started sending the recommendations.
Did you see that on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I saw it too.
Exactly. I'm so happy that, like the filter is now out there. It's like, no, we don't hate all racing games. We're just super
we just
lame
like a,
and picky.
We like a specific genre that basically doesn't exist anymore.
The bullshit arcade racing.
With boosting and crazy. Neon lights.
During this podcast, I checked my email quickly on my phone, and someone just sent like an impassioned letter about, hey, you guys don't really seem to do that much stuff with racing. Let me say that racing is awesome, blah, 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 blah. Maybe they didn't catch all the racing, like, best friends just that we've been doing. But it's like, the only reason we don't do racing games is because it's the most constant... just going forward thing. There's not all that much
if
to
we were
commentate about.
Burnout Paradise.
Not a great video.
Even that would be stretching
stretch.
It.
Would be a stretch,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's why like that's why we kind of shy away from the same thing is why we don't do sports games, for example.
Exactly.
I like my sports
and
games, like I like my racers, arcadey and unrealistic.
Exactly. Like, I don't think any of us is going to talk car brands or sports teams.
No.
I don't know what a car is.
So that's kind of it.
But, some sort of horse and buggy.
Hey, well, Pat, watching this will keep trying to get that shit going. I don't even know what drifting is.
But we are fucking predictable
Distance.
In that we like this like same 80s horse shit
subgenre.
Neon
yeah.
garbage with boosting.
It's not even nostalgia because it was like 10 years before we were born.
Exactly.
Wait,
exactly.
That doesn't make any sense. It was when we were born.
But it's the kind of thing where we look at Trackmania and we're like,
if only
there's
they
something there.
If only they didn't completely ruin Trackmania.
Yeah. No, exactly.
You,
sure.
you do that or you just do fucking Redline.
Redline.
Redline. Nine is just fucking wave. F-Zero.
F-Zero.
It's just F-Zero. Exactly. It's the most F-Zero shit.
The cars
world.
Are cooler than F-Zero.
Guess what song this podcast is going to end with?
Ah, nice.
Oh, you did it.
Don't fuck it up. Don't fuck it up. Yo, what's coming up on our?
This was my transition point.
No, yeah, what was coming up on the channel? You didn't do the channel side shit.
We'll do it again after.
Yeah.
Fix it in post.
Yeah.
We'll fix it in post.
We're gonna polish off Silent Hill 2. We got a bunch of one-offs coming up.
Game of Thrones.
Mario continues.
Starts when?
This week.
When?
It's going.
Wait, okay. It starts this
started.
Week?
Started.
Oh, yeah. I thought it ended this week.
No, it starts.
It's going to end this week, too.
Oh, fuck. I've got a... Wow. Wow, we're really ahead. Awesome.
There's four episodes of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And it's going up
Sick.
This week.
And then another thing after that.
And then another thing
another
after
thing
that.
Right.
Matt, what are we going to do after Silent Hill 2? I don't know. Okay.
I don't know, but we're not gonna have any reveals about what that is yet.
Because we actually haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
No.
Well, we also just don't tell people what we're doing because we like the surprise.
Why do we even have this fucking segment?
Well,
it's more of a like
there's some that we say straight up that we're gonna do.
Mm-hmm. And
I remember last week when I was like, Darkest Dungeon videos are coming in, and everyone around me went, you blew the surprise. It's like, it's a segment where we tell people what's coming up during the week.
This is the
TV guide of our time.
Yeah.
But sometimes, we say how, like, oh, we're starting, like, a new series of one-offs.
Exactly.
Or like, just to let the general...
Because we don't do it anywhere else.
We just tease it.
We just
tease it.
I don't like that finger motion.
Yeah.
You don't like this?
He does it a lot.
Describe it for the mic, though.
Nope.
You're not going to describe it.
No, no. It's way better if no one knows what it looks like.
Red light.